I'm a product of that too. Like my parents fucking, you know, went through like a nasty divorce, and
I think the majority of us are. I mean, oh no, you have good parents.
Yeah, my parents was in my life.
My parents are in my life. It's just like, you know, but seeing it, divorce go down at like a prime age, like being young and shit. It just like messes with your head a little bit, knowing that like, oh, you gotta go bounce around to like different houses, shit.
Damn, I think about that shit sometimes. Like yeah, how Esco is doing. I mean, shit, bro. I'll be at my pad. I'll be spending like a couple nights out the weekend at my mom's pad, and he'll be just following me around and shit. Like he'll be at his mom's pad a couple nights out the week, and I always wonder like what he thinks about that shit. But he seems to have fun. Like yesterday, he was like, "Today's been a really good day." Like he was just stoked on this shit and just. We didn't do shit. We would like went to rerun, and then like
how old is he?
Went to go get ice cream. He turns 5 in April.
Oh, that's a good
like,
age too.
In like a month and a half. Yeah, that shit's true.
Got this Drake plan. Gotta play this fucking Unstoppable one time. My name is
Drizzy. It's time to go.
Get people on. So I deserve
it. Yeah. So Dice Roll the radio, motherfucker.
Shorty too, or like,
yeah, he's 13.
Yeah, not so short.
Can't tell black don't crack. You know how old he is.
Now he cracks sometimes.
Bro, you got like one gray hair, bro. Girls caught up in
superficial glamour
who dress like Sarah Jessica and live like Princess Diana. So often they have addictions, and I'm the one that'll feed it. But truly, you're bad enough that y'all don't even really need it. You can show up at the party on dirty public transit, and I guarantee the cameraman will still be snapping candids of you and your posse partying, drinking what you get handed with your Virgin Islands hands all looking like you just landed. I don't really understand it, I'm not sure I'm comprehending, but these girls are having fun with whoever's money they spend it screaming.
I got to be unstoppable. I got to be unstoppable. Hey, you don't lie. You don't lie. I got to be unstoppable.
Dice roll the motherfucking radio.
I got to be
I always wanted to get Atlas, like, well, he knows what's up. Like, he'd be like, oh, like, you know, like, he'll see somebody wearing Rottweiler, and he'd be like, you know who makes that? My daddy makes that.
Yeah,
bro,
that's
just
dope,
crazy
dope,
to me. I'm like, damn. How do you know
Fabio's, that shit? Fabio's got to be a crazy age, huh?
For real,
it's cool,
bro,
to see how much, like, they take in, huh?
Yeah, hella,
how much
yeah.
they absorb and shit.
For sure. And he's not even quite 5 yet. Like, he turns 5 in, like, a month, bro. And he's just, like, he just knows so much. And then, like, I'll bring him around people that haven't seen him for, like, a month. And they'll be like, damn, he talks so much more. Like, he talks so clear. Like, he gets smart, bro. Like, they're just little sponges.
Yeah, they soak everything up at that age, too. Everything. Everything.
Damn, it's one of them episodes. Fatherhood episode.
Fatherhood
edition. Hell yeah. Fucking Valentine's Day just passed, too. That has nothing to do with being
fatherhood.
You
had a good Valentine's Day? You want to talk about it?
I mean, yeah, I guess we ate Korean barbecue. I took her to that.
Oh, we just had Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
He's a vegetarian. He's a pescatarian.
Pescatarian.
Oh, yeah.
This dude just had him just keep bringing shit over and over. And I'm like,
what did you try? I'm curious now.
Oh, I just had the garlic shrimp.
Mm,
okay. I had the Cajun shrimp.
Mm.
I tried the corn, the cob, the sweet potatoes.
What spot did you go to?
356.
Oh,
Mission Valley.
Yeah, Mission Valley.
Yeah, it's a dope spot.
That's the one that's probably by Buffalo.
Yeah,
Robert?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know exactly where that is.
Line was out the door.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
No, I've been to that. I haven't been to that one. I've been there, and I've been curious to like see that one because I go usually like spots at like Convoy, which is like damn near like Little Asia, I guess, or like, you
yeah,
know, like
yeah, yeah.
Little like Koreatown or whatever. They got like all like the like ramens and fucking all the Korean barbecue spots are like right there in Convoy on like Claremont Boulevard. And then yeah, you know what I'm saying? They got all the shit right there. Like the biggest one I think is like Mana. So they
Mana,
got like they got
yeah,
a huge
that
ass one right
yeah,
there.
That was a good spot.
Yeah, the ramen is a huge spot up there too. But yeah, by Valentine's Day, we actually went on Friday because Valentine's Day was on Thursday. Thursday,
yeah,
we both work and shit. So I was like, you know, I got her some, you know, fucking flowers. I got my mom flowers too.
Yeah.
So, like, those are like the only two people I got splurged for on that. But I don't know, Valentine's Day to me, like, and I've told her this before too. I was just like, dude, like, it's not really like super serious to me. It's like, if I'm treating you good, like, 360 fucking 5 days out of the week. You know what I'm saying? Like
365 days out the week.
Yeah, every
year of the year. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. No, but did you do anything or no?
I spun at fucking
that's
Eldorado.
Right. You did Eldorado.
I've been wanting to play Eldorado for a long.
Being fucking Sir Mix a lot.
Well, like, bro, before I even like knew that I had any desire to DJ anywhere, like, I was like, fuck, it'd be sick to play here at Eldorado. I've been
Eldorado,
there.
Eldorado, yeah.
Like we were talking with Jay about, like, bro, I've been going there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the opportunity to do that shit was tight. I did that. It was a good time. I stayed up super late.
So you were expressing your love for music.
Yeah, I was with my Valentine, and she I kind of dragged her with me to like do this pop up thing, and like she was kind of bored. She looked kind of pissed at me low key, but
it's just a regular thing.
Yeah,
it's the thing.
I did the flower thing and the.
That's what she's gonna have to like be with, man. Like, you want to be with Steelo, you gotta come to the fucking bars with me and watch me fucking spin my ass off.
We just had a conversation about like finding it hard to date people when you do what we do, whether it's DJing or entrepreneur or running a business.
Running a business and all that. Yeah,
it's
hard.
It's a lot of work, bro.
Finding someone who understands what you do.
Yeah, that the hours they just don't end.
No, it never ends, right?
Yeah.
24/7.
Not enough hours in the day anymore to get what you want to get done.
Never.
Before we go in anymore, we have a tendency to just go off without doing the intro. So let's do the intro real quick. This is Dice Roll the Radio, episode 37. Well, let me get the fucking air horn in this bitch. Goddamn. 37.
Hello.
Dice Roller Radio.
Dice Roller motherfucking radio.
I will be, aka Will Be the Don, joined with me always.
Steelo Suave Rottweiler.
And we are in the beautiful, beautiful Pacific Beach. This is kind of like my first time coming up here for like this, you know, because we're kind of like always like around like National City or like all the stores. Like we went downtown and did a couple of stuff over in downtown. Yeah. But here we are in Pacific Beach here at Prospect, the brand new store that's going to be coming up soon.
Official grand opening date? You guys are
like March?
Yeah, we're shooting for mid-March.
Mid-March.
Right now.
I mean, we're just missing a few things. Like the sign was supposed to get mailed out last week. A couple of things with the fire marshal. I mean, we're open now. Well, shit, no, not anymore. We were kind of like open, but not open. The doors were open.
So really and truly, we just have a little
some real exclusive shit going on.
A few things to button up, and then it should all be buttoned up this week, and then we'll just kind of open up the doors, and then a kind of a grand opening, something coming in mid-March. We'll definitely make sure we make an announcement when it's going down. Once we have everything buttoned up and we're kind of ready, once the team is ready, team is situated, then we'll put an announcement out there and we'll just let everybody know. You come through, just come celebrate, kick it with us, hang out.
Dope. Well, let us know who we're talking with.
Yeah,
bro.
We're gonna introduce ourselves.
Go ahead.
Put me on the spot.
Jay. You got to talk to Mike.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Jay Shells, partner Justin Valley over here.
Justin Valley.
Prospect is a multi-brand store. We carry brands such as Stussy, Belief NYC, Headquarters, Pin Brand, Asics, New Balance, Saucony. I know you like to call it Saucony. I call it Saucony, tomato, tomato.
Give the people a background about yourself. Leave that for me. I'm the coy one.
I'm a Queens, New York native, born and raised in Queens, New York. I mean, my whole life, I got brought over here by the Marine Corps to San Diego back in 2007.
That happens to be a thing out
here. Yeah, it happens to be a thing out here.
Everyone comes out here.
I got brought
like
out here in 2007
military.
And 2009. Yeah. And then I went back home to New York in 2009 to 2011, which Marine Corps brought me back out here again in 2011 to 2015. And then I graduated Art Institute of San Diego in Mission Valley.
Nice.
With a bachelor's in graphic and web design. And then I went over to St. John's University, graduated out there in New York, finished out my time.
Damn,
and then 2018, actually, mid-2018, May, came back to San Diego.
Mm.
And I've just been operating ever since, kind of on and off, freelancing, marketing, advertising, graphic design, a little bit of everything. I mean, you've known me for a while.
Yeah.
Just kind of had my hands in a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
especially San Diego being so small, so the creatives that are around here are everybody kind of knows everybody, and then Justin and I have known each other for shit. How long now, black man?
I would say Since about 2012, yeah. So probably like 5-6 years. Yeah, 6 years thereabout.
Damn.
Yeah.
But y'all, you were in the Marine Corps as well?
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps, so I guess I should probably introduce myself.
Yeah.
So I'm Justin Valley. I was in the Marine Corps. I'm from the Caribbean, grew up in the Caribbean. My parents migrated to New York, came out. I was in New York for a little while, lived there for a little while. Then I joined the military, Marine Corps as well, like Jay. And then stayed in for a while, did a couple of combat tours, came back. Mm-hmm. And then I worked government contract, did some government contract for like General Dynamics, worked for Bell Textron. And then I decided, yo, time to go back to school, time to figure it out. I remember it was cold one night. I was working on the flight line, and I was like, yo, I got to go back to school. I can't work out in these elements for the rest of my life because it's freezing out here. It's like 2 in the morning in February. It was freezing. So then I kind of went back to school. I went to Cal State, San Marcos, graduated there, and then...
A night probably similar to the ones that we've been experiencing out here, bro. This shit been like reckless for San Diego.
Yeah,
like,
it's brutal. And
I feel like nobody's used to this shit. Nah, like, the homies in Chicago, New York probably like, shut the fuck up. But
I'm from New York, and I'm telling you, like, this, it gets cold. I mean, it was 36 last night, right? Like, that's real cold, you know?
Bro,
that's,
I had ice
that's snow weather.
Shit,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
San Diego has been pretty cold for San Diego, especially for us. We by the beach.
Yeah. So it's freezing.
I was bugging about that this morning about having ice on my windshield. I was like, what the fuck, am I in Greenland or am I fucking Wisconsin? What the fuck is going on?
And it's not even over yet, right? We still have at least another month and a half of this freezing cold weather, right?
And it's gonna get hot and we're gonna bitch about that too.
Yeah, it's gonna get worse. So I mean, kind of went to Cal State, graduated Cal State, got a corporate. I had a shop before in Orange County called Soul Lab, kind of took a turn for the worse, for lack of better terms, and then kind of shut it down. Went back to corporate, got a corporate gig. Been there since 2016-ish, 2015, 2016. And then last year, actually about a year and a half ago, I decided, yo, it's time to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody hit me and say, hey, you should do a shop again. And I was like, all right, cool. Let me think about it. Person pushed me. And then I kind of decided, let me take the leap of faith, because running a retail space or brand, period. I mean, he could tell you. I'm sure you know too. It's kind of a hustle. It's never ending. There's a lot of behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see that goes on to get the brand up and running, to get product out the door. Yeah. Whatever it is, right? There's a lot behind the scenes that most people don't ever see. They just see the finished product, right? And
yeah.
I didn't know if I was ready to jump back into that again. Right. And then,
wild.
Yeah, so then I decided to do it. And then, I mean, then we formed Prospects Group, which is kind of like an umbrella for three banners, you know. One's a shop, one's a kind of like an operation consulting, where we do consulting for like small to medium businesses, just supply chain operation stuff. And then the third banner is just like a nonprofit charity to help like underprivileged youth, you know, like kids who just so they can see that there's a lot of opportunities out there for them that they never really experienced. They didn't even know was out there, you know, because I feel like that's the problem with being from low socioeconomic backgrounds, is that no one really tells us all the opportunities that are out there for us to grow or to be successful, right? We kind of have to figure out on our own, and we figure out later on in life. So
at that point, I feel like you're already a threat to the state. So the state just like wants you to like, they're not trying to educate you on how to be better because you're already like not good for them. You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
Parasite.
Exactly.
So, like, what the fuck? Like, they're not going to spend time trying to like get you up there. They're focused on like.
They're just trying to get you, you know, just trying to get you in the system, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, I feel like if you, at a younger age, if someone tells you like, hey, these are the opportunities that are available to you, this is what you can do to be successful to get there, then you know, you can make it, right? You literally can make it. You just need someone to guide you in the right direction and let you know what tools are out there. And there's a lot of people in the socioeconomic communities that just don't have those opportunities, don't have anyone to tell them about those things. So that's kind of like the third banner under the whole Prospects Group. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's,
is that kind of where the name comes from?
Yeah, so the name kind of comes from, it started with me and my son. We were just,
well, the best definition is what you told them earlier.
Yeah, my son and I were playing around with names, and we wanted something that would mean something, you know. And we kind of talked about it for a little while, and there was a few names, and we kind of narrowed it down to Prospect because it's one of those things where
everyone can be successful, right? There's no limitations mm-hmm. to where you can go, is regardless of your background, wherever you came from, right? Whatever demographic you're from, mm-hmm. it's just, you just need that one opportunity to shine, right? And a lot of people don't get the opportunity because they don't know those opportunities available to them. Yeah. So once you find out that opportunity is available to them, or once they find out the path to take to get to the next level, then they take it, right? We all can be successful. We're all prospects, right?
Yeah.
So I think, like he was saying earlier, like, that's what, how motorcycle clubs, you know,
that's how they pick their members.
That's how they pick their members.
That's the term they use, yeah.
Right? Because mm-hmm. they're hoping that they're successful enough yeah. to become a member of the motorcycle club. So it's kind of
to be part of like the brotherhood and everything.
Right? To become successful.
To be that moment. Yeah.
So that's kind of where the name come from. And so that's why every part of the umbrella really kind of deals with that, right? Like whether it's a shop, you know, pushing the shop, or if it's just the consulting part where we help small business to realize like, yo, they can grow in some aspect. And yeah. then, or the third banner under the umbrella is the charity, where we just help underprivileged kids, right? To see that there's opportunities out there for them to grow. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the three banners under the umbrella. So
that's dope.
That's really,
yeah, that's super dope.
That's really the three things that I kind of try to manage, which a lot, and I still have a regular 9-to-5, right, a regular corporate job, so, so I'm busy. I'm busy some
You're
days.
You're a busy guy, yeah. No, it's crazy, like, touching on, like, just already, like, how it is to be, you know, a store owner on this, because, like, you know, we've been talking to a lot of different store owners throughout the month or so, and I think they've all tested on just, you know, the hustle and, like, the behind-the-scenes thing, because a lot of people don't really know what it takes to not only on your own business, but like to just be selling and being a part of a trade or like anything
honestly,
like that.
Honestly, it's not even about like, now when you touch on hot, like one of my subjects, it's not even so much about what it takes. It's more of a mental, mm-hmm. you know, state of mind. Listen, you can go to school, you can get all the degrees you want.
Right.
You can repost all the Gary Vee fucking cliche Instagram posts. I mean, it doesn't mean you can make a business cards. Mm-hmm. You can self-title yourself CEO. It doesn't mean you know what the fuck you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, gradually, as whatever you want to call it, I'm not real big on titles, but entrepreneur, I guess, for lack of better words. As an entrepreneur, you know, you never really know what you're doing, you know?
Right.
I mean, this is what, like, my fifth store, you're second or third, and we're still learning, you know? We're still perfecting and tweaking it out.
It's kind of like a leap of faith, like how he just said.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
A leap of faith, and you know what it is? It's like, it's an evolving thing, mm-hmm. you know? What we're doing today might not be the same thing we're doing tomorrow, and we can only plan so much ahead. You know, like, one of my biggest things, you always call me out on it, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm working on, what, 2020, I always tell you. You know, I'm working on 2020 season drops, you know? If we're already working in the moment, we're already kind of fucked. You know, trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, people only see once the light. That's what we said the other day. Like everybody comes around once the lights are on.
Right.
You know, what were we doing the last couple of nights?
Yeah, you know, we're in the back there building
we're
shelves.
We're in the back building shelves.
Like 2 a.m, we're building
two,
3 stockroom
in the morning,
shelves.
You know,
we're building benches.
But yeah. here's the thing. Right. Here's the thing. When it comes to owning a business, it doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a DJ, and it's what filters out and separates the people who are gonna succeed and the people who are just gonna fucking filter out and just fall off, because we don't club it. I can't go out and have fun because some people smoke weed, some people play basketball, some people go dancing. That's fun for them, but this is my fun. So I don't know how to enjoy myself. Like it's not like
you need better. If this is fun for you, you need better friends.
Yeah,
man.
I need better friends. You know, that's why I have, you know, Justin and I are great partners because we're here at 3 a.m. trying to put these seats together that we're sitting on.
Right.
And it fucking sucks. And I start laughing. He's like, "What's so funny?" I'm like, "The fact that it sucks. We're complaining." And he did most of the work because I gave up. I was like, fuck it, I don't want to put these chairs together. But we wouldn't have it any other way. You can't teach will at the end of the day. You can't teach somebody how to want to be here.
To be like determined.
Determined to,
like wanna, to
be
yeah.
here. How to, you know, how to stay up all night or, you know. And it's not even so much of the cliche saying of, you know, team no sleep because you do need rest.
For sure.
At the end of the day, whoever tells you you don't need rest is a fucking liar. I was just in the ER last week. First thing doctor said was malnutrition, sleep deprivation. You're not eating, you're not sleeping. You know,
yeah.
So part of success is taking care of your body.
Learning how to like
learning
fit that in somehow.
It out.
Taking like power naps even.
Yeah, yeah.
And all
taking
that.
Even power naps, just feeding yourself. You know, that's one mm-hmm. thing that we work out pretty well. Him having a corporate job, I can't be here 24/7. And every day is like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm forced to stay home, which works out perfect. And it balances out what we're doing on our next moves. Because like I said, no one ever sees the behind the scenes. No one sees us battling the fire marshal while we can't open our doors.
Right.
No one sees the fact that we're going on, what, third month of rent, but we can't make sales. Because legally we're not allowed to operate. people just see the aftermath and like, oh, it must be nice, right? It must be nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
MBN, right? It must be nice.
It's like, oh, you have your own store. Yeah, like, oh, must be nice. Must be nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the biggest things that people can say to me, and I'm pretty sure you hear a lot, is, oh, must be nice not working for anybody. No, actually, that's not true, you know, because here's the thing.
At least the hardest that, motherfucking yeah, boss you ever have to work for.
At least
like,
people that work for someone, they get paid no matter what. You know, they clock out. They get paid their 8-hour shift or their 10-hour shift. Now, it's not my fault if you fucking hate your boss or you hate going home to your fat fucking wife. You know, right. That's your fucking life decisions. But at the end of the day, everyone, people who don't know glorify owning a business, but it takes a lot more work than people actually realize. You know, like me personally, I liquidated a lot of my shit. You know, I used to have pretty cool cars. I sold all my cars to liquidate this shit. You know, first world problem, not the biggest setback, but, you know, in a world where my Saturdays are made up of cruising, hanging out, you know, in Beverly Hills, to now making sure the store's open, make sure the fire marshal approves us, make sure we have the business license that now is an extra fee, you know. And on top of running this with Justin, I also run headquarters, which is a pop-up pin bus, which is a whole other world of headaches, you know.
Yeah.
And then if you jump into our third store that we just lost, we were opening up a store down the block, and we just lost it, you know. So it's like one thing after another. People don't see it. They just see once the lights are on, the cool store, you know?
Yeah, everyone wants to be around until it comes time to pitch in. It's one of those things.
As we always say.
Yeah, everyone wants to be there for the glory, but they don't want to be for the journey.
Yeah, it's like I'm being around, like, you know, Stilo here, having his own clothing brand, just like I see, like, what he's got to go through. And he doesn't have a store or nothing, but it's like he's still out here hustling and, like, selling shit out of his trunk and going to, like, whatever he can to, like, you know, put his products up. And, like, I know a lot of people like that, but, you know, he has a different, like, you know, determination and willpower to go out there every day and do what he's got to do. And you know, you guys right now, obviously you guys did a great job just by looking at this shit. Like, I'm, you know, in awe of just like, with
and
all the designs
and you've seen it now. You should have seen it in the beginning when before
of course it's all
it was completely different. You'd be like, yo, this is like, right now people are saying, yo, this is not the same place that was there. It doesn't
said that when he walked in. That's why
not the same place.
That's the first thing you noticed, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm glad. I mean, that's really dope that you noticed that, because people don't see.
I was on the phone with Will. I was like, bro, pull up. But like, I'm not sure what it's going to look like, because I'm pretty sure it looked different on Friday.
Yeah. Well, shit, we didn't even have a window display. It's like real things on a minuscule level that people don't realize.
That's why I was like, bro, just keep looking until you find like a black gate and you'll kind of see it.
Well, shit, we don't even have a sign in the front. It's just black store,
which is something that people love, right? A lot of people hit me and say, yo, I love that you guys don't have a sign. So you either pass by and you see it, or you don't, right? Like, people pass by in the middle of the night and then we had the lights, like the two front lights would just be purple or something, and somebody passed by and they see it and it's like, yo, there it is, right?
Which honestly is pretty cool, because being from New York, like, I grew up in a time where, like, obviously there was no Instagram, there was no Twitter. So for me to find the hottest stores, and you know, one of the stores that I used to always shop at was 555 Soul. The shit didn't happen. Like, in New York, like, it's so funny, growing up, like, having a spot was everything. Like, people didn't share their spots. Niggas didn't, like, where'd you get that? Don't worry about it. Like, everybody was exclusive. No one saw the spots. And there was, like, two or three spots that I shopped in Soho, and it's crazy because I don't even remember the name, but the shit didn't even have a fucking, it didn't have an awning. It had nothing. You know, I had to literally, like, all right, fuck it. It was on Mulberry, and I had to walk down three stores and then look down, and it was in a basement somewhere, and it was, like, the spot to shop at.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of, it's really cool. I mean, we didn't do it on purpose, obviously. We ordered a sign, it just didn't come. But the fact that the store is black, it kind of just feeds into, like, that same culture that we got brought up with, where we didn't have social media to direct us where to go. It was kind of just like, if you really want it, you know, and which is pretty cool because it really show who fucks with us.
Yeah,
right.
You know, people, like, what were you saying today? He was kind of upset. He's like, damn, Matt, people been hitting us up. They want to buy stuff, but they want to buy it in store.
Yeah.
And he's like, damn, just buy it online. Nah, people want to come in. People want to see the store. People want to see face to face. And I think that's fucking dope, especially in a generation where everybody communicates and never met each other. I know niggas that support me and show me mad love, and I've never seen their faces in my life.
Yeah.
Now that we have a store, like, yo, come in, say hi. Like, I'm
it's
not
more intimate.
Exactly.
You get to know the people. And
yeah, I mean, it'd even be dope when the bus is up and running, right? Because then we can just roll out and park wherever, and then people can just come through and chop it up with us the bus, right? So I think right now the biggest thing is trying to create a scene where everyone comes through and can just fuck with each other, right? Where, like, you guys came through on Friday night for the shoot and everybody chopped it up. Like, that was really the first time I ever get to talk to Rossi to Leon, to Dope, to Mo, right? Like, I really, I've seen them around the place, but I've never really got to really converse with them. So just them coming through and talking to them, like, yo, they're amazing people, right?
Yeah.
Like, you see all these people on social media doing these different things, and you're like, oh, yeah, that person looks cool. But then when you get to really talk to them, like, yo, this person is really dope, right? Like, I mean, they're, like, for me, meeting them and talking to them, they're three great individuals. Like, I probably would have never really met if we hadn't done this, right? Like, I probably would have never met you guys, right?
If we didn't, wouldn't be here doing this right now. If I hadn't tagged along with Rossi, bro.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We were at the 24 hours pop up. He's like our Army singer from Atlanta. He was having a pop up at Rosewood in downtown, and we were with like what felt like half the city, bro. The next day was like his video shoot for Sleep, and so like TC was there, Sauce was there, Sebi was there, and like a bunch of other homies that make music and like photographers, and like people were just pulling up. It's like cool going to those type of events, and then just like kind of seeing where things lead to. Like the next thing you know, I'm over here with him. He's doing a photo shoot with you for you guys, and like we're chopping it up, bro.
That's kind of one of the main reasons that I really fuck with Rossi, just because through him I've met a lot of people that are like in the same creative field, like just whether, and it's not always like design, whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's just any type of like innovative mentality. I've always had good vibes fucking with Rossi. And that's the first thing I told him when we decided we were going to shoot. I said, well, we got to get Rossi on deck. Like that was the first thing I said, like, we got to get Rossi on deck.
That's definitely somebody to like have as far as like getting to like the whole scene out here with that.
Yeah, I think he represents the city very well.
That's a very
Besides him just representing the city, he's just a dope person, right? Like, me and him had some good conversations while he was here, and he's just all around a good person. Like, genuine, you know, like really smart dude. So like for me, that was like he could, even if he didn't have the city behind him, right? Just getting to talk to him one on one, conversing with him one on one was a really good vibe. Just to talk to him, right?
Yeah.
Like talking to all three of them, honestly, was just a good vibe. It was
the whole shoot was catered to perfection with Bam and his girl. It was just really good.
I saw photos from it.
It was definitely a dope
really
vibe.
Nice.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shout out Domo. Shout out Bam, Leon.
All the homies, yeah.
Shout out Rossi Rock.
I got to get an aw sound bite every time Rossi gets mentioned. Just be like, aw.
I want to impersonate it, but I'm not going to hit it, bro.
You would do no better than all of it. There you go. See, like, I'm going to just copy that right there. I saw the photo shoot for that. That was dope. Like, I'm glad like you guys were able to capture that with those individuals, because they definitely do bring a certain entity with like how the scene is out here, because like, you know, Mo and Leon have their own like stuff going on. Leon
they both
also
have
is a rapper.
They got a child together,
And they got a child. Rossi too. All them. That's crazy.
Mo is DJing for a minute, hosting events.
I mean, that's
Bam's
the whole, that's the whole reason
events.
That like we're lucky, fortunate enough to put together a brand and a store like Prospect. We get to handpick who we fuck with. You know, it's like we don't just fuck with people because they're popping or they're relevant.
Yeah,
I can really give two shits. I mean,
right.
You know, to be honest, I'm from New York. Half my friends are fucking relevant and popping, and the other my friends.
Yeah.
You know, so being in San Diego, we have the opportunity to work with people. We handpick them based on their vibe, their mentality, their outlook, their perspective on the creative field. Like I said, whether it's music, art, modeling, whatever it is, we're working together.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the many great things about owning a business is you get to pick and choose who you work with. I personally won't work with anyone I'm not feeling. I don't give a fuck how popular you are.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck how cool you are, how much following you got. Like, if I don't know you, I don't know you.
Yeah.
That's how you fill people's heads up, gas them up and shit.
Yo, I'm going to ask you guys something. I don't usually ask too many of the of our guests, but like, what are you guys like astrological signs?
I'm a Taurus.
Okay.
I'm a Libra. That's a weird question. Why?
Yeah, that is a weird. I mean, not 100% weird. You know, it's funny. I was watching a podcast today with Ronnie Fike.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I watch a lot of
from Kith, right?
Yeah, owner of Kith. And he's actually born and raised in Queens as well.
Oh, tight.
And they were talking about kind of same conversation we're having, right? And he said that he's like, honestly, I feel like astrological signs, zodiac signs play a big part, if not the biggest part, in who he fucks with, who he vibes with, who he works with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was kind of weird because it threw me off. And now that you asked I mean, that's cool that you have the same mentality.
Yeah.
You know, but that's one of the first things he said.
Very spiritual.
Did he say what his sign was?
I think he said he was a Pisces.
Okay, Ross.
He's a Pisces.
And then
that's
he said
opposite,
his father.
That's opposite my sign because I'm a Virgo, but like, we've been homies since like 07, 06. Like, because we went to high school together and shit. And, like, I don't know, but that shit, like, we always had, like, a vibe that was, like, kind of opposite, but, like, balancing in a way. Like, I don't know how that whole dynamic worked, but That's my best friend, bro. That's my brother.
All right.
Virgo is a...
That's a soundbite right there.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I mean, I don't even know if our signs are that like that because, I mean, we complement each other in the business aspect in a lot of great ways, right? Because
he's super social. He's on the gram all day. Yeah. I'm on the gram.
It's funny. Taurus rules the throat, and that's like your like line of communication, basically.
What do you mean? What does that mean? I don't know much about zodiac signs.
Each zodiac sign rules a different part of the body. So, like, Aries, Taurus...
what is a Gemini rule?
Gemini is like the arms and the hands. And it's like,
you want these hands, holla at me.
You want these hands?
You want these hands, holla at me.
Like, with music, bro, like you playing music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, that makes sense too, yeah.
But there's, I mean, and you don't just have one sign. Like there's a lot of signs. That, basically all the planets were in pretty much different signs when you were born. So there's like a whole way to figure out that whole thing out. And it like, it goes deeper into like, you know, who you are on the outside, who you are on the inside. Like the emotional person that people see of you or like, the emotional person that you are just by yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes into it. But basically what we're talking about is sun signs. So like where the sun was at when you were born. Yeah. My mom's a Libra. My brother's a Libra.
Yeah, Libras rule the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
Virgo rules the stomach. Leo rules the heart. Cancer rules the hands. Gemini rules the arms. Taurus rules the throat. Aries rules the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long list of them. I'm not going to read them all though.
That's weird how many things you could throw... fucking astrology signs and just in anything.
Yeah. Everyone's well, 12 is like a magic number.
I mean, sign and no sign, I don't know. I think that's why we work well together. You know, whenever I'm usually a talkative one, I'm really social. Not that he's not social. He's just very reserved and kept to himself. But even when the scripts are flipped, there'll be times where I'm like pretty calm and reserved, which is rare.
Yeah.
And then he'll pretty much step up to the plate and be social when he needs to.
Mm-hmm. So Taurus is known for being reliable and stubborn.
Facts.
Big facts.
I'm fucking reliable, 100%.
And he's very stubborn.
I am very, very stubborn. But I would like to think I'm easy to work with when it comes. You know what it is? I wouldn't say I'm stubborn. I just don't involve myself in anything I'm not passionate about.
Yeah.
Think of the stubborn bull answer to give.
But think of the bull though. Like the bull's like it's not really like you got to set it off. But once you set it off, like boom, that shit's gonna go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that shit's gone.
Involve myself in anything I'm not passionate about, whether it's friendship, whether it's like cars, art, or like, you know, work with prospects.
That's another interesting thing. So earth signs, they're like super materialistic. I'm super materialistic.
Yeah, no,
bro.
I am.
He's very materialistic like, also.
I just convinced him to move into my apartment building.
Yeah.
And that's not his style. I live in a little loft downtown. And I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's good for a place where I live. And I got him to move in. And he's like, yeah, this really ain't me. I got him a little corner.
Yeah, I've been telling him, I was like, yo, I'd rather just get a place in the cut where no one knows I'm there, you know, and I could just move in silence and, you know, I come and go as I please and no one really knows what's going on, right? But he loves that stuff, right? He loves telling people, this is where I'm at, right?
You know what, though? Honestly, I used to think being materialistic was a bad thing, but if it's your motivation and you use it positively, it's not a bad thing. Like, I've been everything I've ever wanted, like, you know, my cars from where I live, where how I, you know, what I wear, how I dress, everything, you know, it's pretty expensive. I wouldn't say expensive because I work for it. I live within my means. You know, I never live outside of my means. But it has pushed me to want more. I've never looked at the next man and been like, oh, he got a Ferrari. Like, I'm going to hate on this nigga. I'm going to learn, like, oh, how you got it? You know, I ask a lot of questions. You know, so other people's success, whether it's material things, and unfortunately for me, it is always material things that I love. You know, I love houses. I love architecture. I love, obviously, I'm a big sneaker collector. All that has always pushed me to work harder. You know, growing up in I guess what we were saying earlier, as a minority in a low-income neighborhood, you know, there was always like that competition of who had more, who was stunting. For me, it was just like, all right, cool, I can get there. The only thing between me and a millionaire was time. You know, just give me the right time. I mean, we both have the same 24 hours in a day. Mm. The next man does. You know, there's no difference between me and the next millionaire. Yeah, it's just about how many hours I'm willing to kick in or how many hours you're willing to kick in. Mm-hmm. You know, just for me, it just happens to be I'll compromise a little bit of sleep and work an extra hour, you know. Or like one of my biggest things, I'm not a morning person. And I'm not. I'm just not a morning person. But shit, how many times did I have to be here at 6 in the morning, 6:30?
Yeah, a couple of days, yo. But, yo, this dude don't get up till like 11 o'clock.
Maybe. But I also don't go to sleep till 5, 6 in the morning, and I have to do something productive. Mm-hmm. I'm up doing spreadsheets, whether it's thinking of new ideas and concepts for a prospect, or, you know, I do packaging and shipping for headquarters. you know, I'm always doing something. I have to use my time productively.
Yeah, for sure.
And whether the motivation is material things, I mean, it's not a bad motivation. People use the word material, materialistic, like such a bad thing. Now, I get it. Some people, well, their opportunity, their demeanor changes based on their opportunity for material things. You know, they might be a scam artist or just might be, you know, do something grimy. Yeah. But depending how you take the opportunity to obtain materialistic things, there's nothing wrong with it.
No,
you know?
For sure.
Yeah, but also I think it also comes to play, though. Like, if you work hard, you should be able to spend your money and be able to do nice things for yourself, right? For yourself, your family, right? Hell, like, if you put in the time and you know, like, you work hard. Why not? You should be able to spend your money and buy nice things and enjoy life, right? Because if you work hard for all that money, if you can't enjoy it, what's the purpose of working hard for it, right?
I think the purpose of life is joy.
You gotta have joy.
And everyone definitely has like a different way to get there. And materialistic or like whether or maybe you find pleasure in I don't know, because I'm hella materialistic. So
I think he tapped in on something where I feel like a lot of people are, you know, never really figure out. Throughout their life, sometimes it takes, you know, time for some people to really like find something that they really genuinely care about, to where they're able to like they're willing to do things that they normally don't do, but for the, you know, for the greater good, and in order to reach that goal, they're willing to wake up early in the morning and, like, you know, risk sleep and all this other stuff. So it's like how he was just saying, like, you know, I'm not a morning person, but you're willing to do that because you actually genuinely care and you're determined to, you know, get this shit going, right?
And one thing I know for sure, bro, is no one's stuck. Like, no one is stuck. Like, the person who they are today, like, that is not who you're going to always be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't like waking up early in the morning. I used to not like waking up early in the morning because I dreaded going to work. But, like, today, last night, I gave myself something really cool for myself to look forward to in the morning. And I woke up, like, 7 o'clock, like, no problem. And I usually don't wake up till like fucking 9.
Because you had the right motivation,
and
right?
I got work at 10, you know what I mean? And I got to get my son ready. And so it's like a whole thing, like, you know, always rushing and shit. But like, not today. I had like, I get myself motivation, you know what I mean? And I had the right thing. And I was just like, yeah, fuck yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that shit. And I did it. It was a fucking great morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that you just have to find that right motivation to push you to the next level, right? Because, I mean, and again, we're all prospects, right? I mean, to throw it on the term, like, once we have something, the opportunity, or once we have something to motivate us to get to the next level, yo, we'll do whatever it is, right? Yeah, whether it's waking up early because you hate waking up early, or whether it's, you know, going the extra mile to help someone or to do something just to make it to the next level, because that's your motivation, is to get to the next level. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all trying to get to it, right? Whether it's you, me, him, or Jay, right? We're all just trying to get to it, right? We're all trying to get to the next level, trying to get to the bag, right? That's really what it is.
And the next level, and it's just so like, because I feel like a lot of, like, younger people, like, the youth, like, they'll be, like, on social media, like, looking at what the next man has, like you were explaining, and, like, they'll feel like, oh, like, they'll feel shitty about themselves. And I feel like that's something that, like, a lot of, it's like a groove that people are kind of starting to find themselves
in. I mean, well, the key word, as you said, is because of the gram. Obviously,
the lack of acceptance.
You know, Justin, you're 36.
So we were raised without that shit.
Yeah, we were raised a little different, you know.
So finding the next level is something you got to really go inside of yourself and be like, what's the next level?
That's the problem with younger generations. It's hard to find that next level for them because they're raised where that instant gratification through social media platforms.
Because it's very
external. It could be used for good and bad, because, like, one person could be looking at, like, oh, like, why don't I have this? Why isn't this me? Like, what do I got to do to get to that? Or they could use it as inspiration to be like, all right, like, that person's doing this. Let me go.
I mean, honestly, what best advice I give everyone when it comes to people always asking, like, oh, how are you successful? How do you drive these cars? How do you, you know, open up a store? Best thing you could ever do is, like, not worry about what the next person is doing, honestly.
Right.
That has been, like, as I got, you know, it's when I was 21. When I was 19, I was scared to turn 21. I was like, I'm fucking old. When I was 21, I turned 25. I was like, fuck, I'm old. Yeah, when I hit 30 years old, for me, it was like, it was such like a blissful feeling, because I felt like I let all that shit go. You know, you kind of call it your dirty 30s, right? You're old, you just really don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And when I say I don't give a fuck, I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean it in a way, I'm just concerned about what I'm doing with my team. And that has actually opened the door for a lot more clear-headed. You know, it's kind of like if you ever play like I usually go play basketball.
Yeah.
At the coin op, right? So I used to play with my ex, and the funny thing is she's actually better than me, right? But I would spaz out because I would go and I would look over. And when I saw that she was beating me, I would get all unfocused. I'll get nervous. I'll get nervous, right?
You get focused on that.
Exactly. Yeah. You start focusing on the next person. Honestly, when it, yo, dude, I'll keep it real. I failed probably like 5 businesses that I ran. And I mean, I've been sued. I've been bankrupt. I've been fucking, my inventory has been robbed by niggas that I knew. Like a bunch of shit. When I realized that I started doing things with a different passion, like it wasn't for greed. It wasn't like, oh, let me do this because it makes money. You know, people hit me all the time. Oh, hey, what can I do? What can I go to school for to be rich? You've already failed. If your mentality is to do something to get rich, you're gonna fail.
Yeah.
I mean, if we wanted to be rich, what do we say? We wouldn't be running a fucking store. We're losing money by the day.
Yeah, you're not gonna run. You're not gonna be an entrepreneur if you're trying to be a millionaire.
Yeah. If your whole aspect is, oh, I'm gonna do X because it's gonna make me, you know, this amount of money, or I'm gonna do this because he's doing it and he's rich, or Gary Vee's doing this, or Ty Lopez, or all these, you know, entrepreneurs on the internet are doing it, then you've already failed. Honestly, the best, and like I said, this is just my outlook. This isn't the key to success. You know, I'm still learning a lot. But what I always do, if you don't do things out of passion, because you genuinely like it, mm-hmm. you've already failed.
Yeah.
You know, being rich isn't the highest level of success. Oh, yeah. For me, it's not even a level of success, tell you the truth, you know. For me, it's what do we always say, sustainability. If I can keep doing this for the next 5-6 years. What did I say last week that you liked? Everybody's trying to get rich quick. No one's trying to get rich slow.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm just trying to stay sustained slowly.
Yeah, and just enjoy it.
Exactly.
Because then you rush and you get somewhere and then you're like pissed or like whatever.
Yeah, you stress out on the wrong things and then you just start putting your energy in different places.
I think
places
you touched on like some really good things, bro, especially for like the people who are listening in and want to hear like, you know, about that entrepreneurial spirit and that mindset. It's like, definitely. Okay, so earlier I heard this on Twitter. It was like, the, you know, everyone has the same 24 hours in a day. Like, that's super important. Time management, super important, especially if you
that's
like,
key.
If you want to be running a business or be running multiple operations, like, you got to be able to manage everything. I mean, I struggle with it. I do too much, bro. Brand, fucking part-time job.
Nah, there's never too much. You just, like, time management is key. You got to manage the key. So one thing I learned about a few years back is someone made me do this, right? They made me take my whole week from Sunday to Saturday, every hour from midnight till 11:59, and you write down everything that you do during that hour, and you'll see how much time you have and how much time you waste. And with that, that made me realize that I could button up my time really, really good, right? Like, I could change up some of the things I do and give me more time. Because we waste a lot of time throughout the day, right? Like, yeah. I mean, if you go...
Even on the gram.
That's what I was just about to say. If you go on social media, you could get lost on social media for hours and you realize, like, yo, I was just on Instagram for 2 hours. Like, yo, I need to do something else with my life right now, right?
Yeah.
So it's really time management. A lot of people say there should be more hours in the day, but then those... Not everyone, but some of those people you'll see... They just on the gram all day.
Yeah.
They arguing with someone on Twitter or something like that, right? Trolling someone's comments on Instagram. Yeah. So really and truly, if they use that time wisely, they'll have more time in the day. Just don't use the time wisely, right?
No, most definitely. And I think another important thing you guys both touched on is education. Like, because you guys are both educated, right? But like you said, like, what are you going to go to school for to get rich? Like, you're not. And I was at this spot today. I was shipping out some packs, and I was kind of joking with the dude, and I was like, damn, like, I should have gone to school for business. He's like, nah, they don't teach you shit. And I was like, nah, what I mean is, like, I went to school, like, I should have studied business, like, instead of what I was doing, because I did that shit anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it kind of goes back to time management, but it's making the decisions of, like, okay, well, this is connected to that. I mean, I'm still appreciative for my school education. I went to San Diego State, studied sociology, psychology, anthropology.
Oh, that's good. We're both big believers of education. Yeah. I don't fuck with anybody who tells you the school is not important. Yeah. That's straight bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people always say, like, oh, the average person that goes to school doesn't get... You know, they waste their time, they're in debt, or they don't get... My famous one that I love hearing is people who go to school, like 75% graduate and don't get jobs in the field. That's on you, my nigga. Like, people are like, oh, you go to college, you party. That's on you because you don't know how to, you know. True. School's good. School's fucking important, you know.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if I gave, you know, person A $1 million with no education, and I gave person B $1 million that had a degree in finances... Whose brain is a lot more expanded on education, on how to give me a return on my investment? Obviously, person who went to school.
Yeah.
You know, it'd always be dumb fucks that you know, say school ain't shit. Niggas who never went to school, niggas who didn't sit through a class. School just doesn't teach you just the subject matter. It teaches you discipline. It teaches you study habits.
Y'all about to say the discipline part.
Especially, I went to a Division I school, and so did you, is the alumni. You know, some of the alumni, some of the people that I've met are fucking way more successful. It's a new caliber of friends that you meet, and business associates, and I've met so many people that have like put me onto shit. You know, it's good to have friends that help you grow your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, and through college, like a lot of people told me, like, oh, it's dope. Your pin company's dope, because I used to push it in college. And I met other people that were like, yo, you know, you could do this, you could do that, or there's certain associations that you can fuck with. You get all that through college. You know, I hate people that say that school is not important.
I hella want to go back, low-key. I want to go get a master's or something.
Yeah, no, you 100% should. I think the problem with education is a lot of people see all these people who never went to college. I mean, I know a few people who never went to college. I know one who's a millionaire right now.
Success story.
Yeah, and he wrote a couple of books and stuff, right? But at the same time, he just grind his way through, and he learned, like, just not going
it's
to school.
It's definitely not the easier route.
It's definitely not the easier route at all. I agree with you 100%.
Not everybody has an Albert Einstein fucking IQ. What is it? Bill Gates didn't go to college, or he dropped out of college, or what is it? Zuckerberg dropped out of college. Steve Jobs. My nigga, not everybody's Steve Jobs. That's a one in maybe 100,000 of a person who's got an IQ. Listen, if you got that IQ, then more power to you. But don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure if Steve Jobs graduated college, he probably would have made it a lot faster. You know, the opportunities come a lot faster.
Yeah, I think you hit on some good points, right? Because it teaches you, like, discipline, study habits. And the network is also something, because you meet people who can complement your weaknesses, right? Because you have these weaknesses, and then you didn't even know you have these weaknesses until you meet someone who's way stronger than you in it, right? And then you get to work with that person. You get to learn from that person. You get to grow from that person. And for me, it's really just meeting different people from different walks of life and being able to learn how to live with them, learn how to work with them, like whether it's group projects or whatever, right? Because, I mean, as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you work with tons of people from different walks of life who you probably would have never been able to work with, right? So you learn how to work with those people, how to grow, how to become a better person, you know, with different mindsets, right? Like you said, like you and Rossi are opposite, right? But you guys are really good friends because you've been able to know how to deal with people who are opposite to you, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing for me and him. Like, we've learned from working with different people how to work with certain people of different walks of life, from different personalities,
and
right?
I think that goes back a lot to what you were talking about like coming from lower socioeconomic statuses and like having like you know, not having things handed to you and kind of having the system against you and having that whole like that whole feeling of like, oh well, basically the government doesn't want you. You know what I mean? So if you're those people and like the people that you guys want to help with prospect and everything, and like, right, that connects to what you
that
guys,
connects 100% connects to
do with
yeah.
the, with the nonprofit, right?
Yeah,
it's like, you know, giving those people the opportunity to like, you know, experience your just everything that you guys are and do. You know what I mean? Whether that's your education or just your style and everything, like, let those things be influences that lead those people to kind of look to you guys for mentorship or for just inspiration, you know what I mean?
I mean, those, like you said, those people from low socioeconomic backgrounds, they already stamped a problem to the state, right? I mean, single parent home, they whether on welfare, whatever the case, so they're deemed a problem to the state. I mean, the 2 years old, 3 years old from birth, right? You're deemed a problem to the state. So there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of things that could help those people and those families that they just never hear about. There's opportunities that people who are in the top 1%, top 5% have given to them because they know it's out there, and a lot of people don't know the opportunities out there, right?
With you guys both having military backgrounds, like, did you guys feel like kind of pressured into joining the military? Like, if there wasn't another route, or were you guys both excited to do that?
You know, the funny thing is, I did recruiting for 3 years, and the average person, kid we recruit, is from low income areas, mostly minorities. Me, I was going to Long Island University straight out of Newtown High School, which is in Corona, and I was 18. I kind of just went to college for the wrong reasons. I was doing poli sci, political science. I don't know why, just to kind of keep my family happy. I didn't want to do it, and initially I joined the Army. I did the process for the Army. And I didn't like the feedback that I got from a lot of people. It was like, everyone's like, oh, congrats. And I was hanging out with a Marine dude at the time, and I didn't know shit about Marines. But he had made a comment to me that was like, kind of like a challenge. He was like, yo, bro, don't do it. It's really hard. Like, you're going to fail. Like, it's fucking nearly impossible. It's like going to jail. And at the time, I'm 18, a little wannabe street kid. And I'm like, oh, yeah, challenge accepted. Like, I want to do this. Like, this shit sounds like the place to be. Touching on what you said, yeah, I felt a little pressured because I was like, fuck, I want to drop out of college, but I don't want to be labeled a bum. So what's the next thing I can do that people be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. So I kind of just joined the Marine Corps. I was like, fuck it, at this point, people are proud of me. I'm not in college because college wasn't for me at the time. I was 18. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my future. Mm-hmm. Bad study habits. I didn't want. I just got out of high school. You know, I hated school. I hung out most of the time. You know, so I didn't want to sit in the classroom, especially doing political science. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it takes a while to realize what I wanted to do. So I did feel a little pressure to join the military, which I'm glad I did. I've had a great 13 years of success, you know, in the military. Just like college, it taught me a lot of good study habits. It taught me a lot of discipline. Military doesn't make you successful. It just gives you the tools that you need. It's up to you. If you're a loser, you're going to be a loser whether I give you $1 million or you join the military. Being in the Marine Corps doesn't make you successful. I know niggas in the Marine Corps that got out that are fucking losers, you know, in all services, mm-hmm. not just Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, if it was a little bit of pressure, but I kind of needed that.
Yeah, sometimes I'll give you that little extra kick in the ass that you need to, like, get your shit going. Because I feel like, you know, fresh out of high school, 18-year-olds, like, it's kind of a lot to ask, like, somebody to be like, what do you want to do now with the rest of your life? Like, you're done with school. Like, you're going to go to college. You're going to do this. So I feel like even, like, just talking to a couple of my homies that were in the Marine Corps, like, you know, they didn't know what to do. So, like, when they go to the military, it kind of, that those 4 years being in the military is just... It helped them, you know, they traveled, they got to see different parts of, you know, the country or the world even that they never would have even thought about going to or even afford to go to. But being in the military, they were able to. Like, I got homies that have been to Japan and fucking Hawaii and even, like, you know, in the States even more, just like in Maryland and Texas and shit like that, you know, all the different bases. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like just the military helps you more so. I mean, like, yeah, it depends on the individual.
Give Justin a chance to answer the question. Like, did you feel any pressure to join? Or
I don't want to say there was pressure. So I'm from an immigrant family. Like, we came from the Caribbean. My parents migrated here. I mean, my parents probably came here with, like, $55,000, and there's four of us, right? And we came here, and we just decided, hey, we're going to make it, right? And, I mean, coming from a third world country to the U.S., right, it's an opportunity. That's a life-changing opportunity from a third world country, right? Because America is a land of opportunities, big dreams, right? So we came here, and then I went to high school, and then, I mean, I always had good grades, probably not a straight-A student, but, you know, A's and B's, right? And then I had to figure something out to get to the next level, right? And then my parents can't afford college, you know? I'm not going to take out $1 million in student loans, so... Literally, you just have to kind of figure out what to do. And you would hear a lot of people, minority people, pretty much say, don't go into military. The government will own you. Uncle Sam will own you. And then you're like, well, okay. There's been millions of people who went to the military, and they came out, and they're just fine. Mm-hmm. Like, what would be different with me? So I kind of did a little bit of research, and then, you know, I try actually, like he said, like him, I was like Jay, I was trying to join the Army because the Army is kind of the one that is more on the front line, that's more famous to do more marketing. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get sucked in with the Army. And, I mean, that's the one most people are more recognized, right? Most people are more familiar with. So you kind of check for the Army. And then I went to the Army, and then I wasn't feeling it. They were closed sometimes. The recruiter wasn't there. And then it just so happened the Marine Corps recruiter was always there. He saw me out there a couple of times, and he just said, hey, what are you trying to do? And he talked to me. He did some research on me, and he figured out, like, yo, he's a good student. You know, like I can get him in. And then next thing I know, you know, I'm swearing in to become a Marine, right? And you really learn a lot in the Marine Corps. It's you kind of get institutionalized in a good way, I would say. I mean, it teaches you discipline. Like, we have field day every Thursday. Field day is pretty much you just clean your room or clean wherever you stay, right? So that's every Thursday. So it kind of teaches you some sort of discipline to get things prepared for your life, to keep clean, whether it's inspections or whatever. So it teaches you a lot of things that you probably wouldn't learn in the regular civilian life. And it definitely institutionalized you because a lot of things you learn in there, you actually apply it in your life. You just don't know that you don't realize that you apply it in your real life until, like, you think about it, until like me and him are talking about something or laughing about something from the Marine Corps. I'm like, yo, we actually apply that in real life. So it teaches you a lot of things that you apply. You just never really realize that you've been applying it all these years. And you're like, oh, damn, I'm institutionalized, right? Because keeping your place clean is one thing. Like, I mean, that's imperative in the Marine Corps. Like, you can get an inspection any day, and they come in and search your barracks room. If your barracks room is trash, they're going to trash it, and you're going to be, you know, just doing dumb shit for the rest of the week, right? So you got to keep it clean. So, like, now I keep my place clean. He keeps his place clean. And I know quite a few other jarheads Marines who are just out there and they keep their spot clean because it's just something that you just learn in the military to do, right? So it's, like I said, there's a lot of things that you learn that you don't even realize like you still do today. So, I mean, back to your question, I feel like being pressured, yeah, because like you said, low socioeconomic background, right? So you really have no choice. You have to figure something out. And are you really going to put your parents in debt to go to college, you know? Because you don't even know if you're going to stay in college, right? So you're going to put your parents in debt $100,000 to go to college, even if, and you're just going to waste it.
You should put yourself in debt.
Yeah, you put yourself in debt, right? Figure it out. I mean, student loan debt is probably the biggest debt in America right now, right? Like, the bubble's about to burst. They got to forgive a lot of people because.
Yeah. And I feel like they have been, right? Like, certain majors have been, like, hella forgiven. Like, oh, what the fuck? You should have gone to
school for that shit. If you went to school to be a teacher, right? And you go teach in some low socioeconomic neighborhood, they'll forgive you for your debt, but you got to teach for 4 years or something like that, right? So, I mean. There's a lot of people.
The system's trying to get everybody.
Yeah, they're trying to get everybody.
Bro, Jay, like you said, you went to Art Institute, right?
Yeah.
Bro, I got homies that went to Art Institute. They're fucking, like, paying for that
shit. Yeah, it's private school. Crazy. I'm not going to lie. It is pretty expensive. It's about 110 grand for the bachelor's.
Wait, it's 110 for the bachelor's?
Both my schools were a private school.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I know Art Institute is a huge
military
debt.
Didn't pay for St. John's my last semester. That shit was expensive, homie. And I don't qualify for financial aid because once you have your first bachelor's, because I went for two bachelor's, I didn't want to go for a master's, to tell you the truth. I kind of just wanted the network and the knowledge in my second degree. But yeah, Art Institute is fucking expensive. Like, I forgot that, like, I'm so brainwashed being a Marine, I forgot that other niggas have to pay for school.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be in class with some cats and they'd be like, oh, I got to go to work after this. I'm like, why? They're like, I gotta pay for college, and I'm like an idiot. I'm like, wait, college ain't free?
Yeah, financial aid.
You don't get paid grants, to go to school.
Yeah, and I mean, really and truly, you pay that. You dropped that 110K, right? The 110 racks, and you don't even know if you're gonna get a job that's gonna pay for that.
Yeah, but you know what?
That student loan.
No, you don't. I know a handful of cats that I went to college with, and some are really, really successful, and others really did nothing with it. You know, it's not like you get a degree, a piece of paper, and then like. You turned it into a local job and like, well, here's my paper and you get a job. You know, you don't need a graduate to be successful or even get a job, but it is up to you to work that network, you know, to reach out, you know, to put your talent to work. You know, unfortunately, it is 20% talent, 80% networking. It is. I don't care how good you are at what you do. If you don't have the network, you're not going to get
it. Networking is probably the biggest thing you can do. Yeah.
Yeah, we always talk about that. We always say, like, you can't teach personality and soft skills, right? Like, I could teach you anything else, mechanical, anything, but the personality and soft skills, if you don't have it, you just don't have it, right? Like, you can't teach somebody that,
it's
right?
It's like even when we hired for this place, because like I told him, you know, some of our criteria is like, you know, be familiar with brands, pop trends and stuff like that. At the end of the day, we can train skill. We can't train character. Mm-hmm. You know, we hired based on character. Yeah. The two employees we have here are both male and female, two different individuals, you know, but, you know, great people, dope. We hung out with both of them here at the store. We talked to them. It was more of character, like he said, the soft skills. You know, like everything else we can train. That's not a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem with a lot of people that graduate college. They think that they're going to graduate and fall into this fucking successful job. You know, just like the Marine Corps, college doesn't equal success. It's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I just always knew at a young age that I didn't want to work for somebody. And it's not bad for those that do work for someone. You know, some people, listen, there has to be a means to an end. I get it. You know, I'm not trying to sit here like, oh, you're a sucker if you work a 9-to-5. Listen, some people just find it easier to clock out at 5, and some people don't care about the company, and that's cool. I mean, less stress. You know, you get off at 5, you still get a guaranteed paycheck. There's been times where my company has made $2. You know, when I first started the pin company, bro, our first sales were $38. And I'm like, fuck, I have all this inventory. What am I going to do? You know, and then graduate, you know, fast forward to now where we do well enough to, you know, we have over 50, 60 pins on the website, you know, so, but that's all stuff that, like I said, without college, I wasn't guaranteed anything. I was like, fuck, imagine if I had a kid, you know, like, and my son was still around, or if I had a responsibility, I'd probably have to get a fucking job. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to find a way to pay for fucking rent. You know, I've just been lucky enough to always been a, you know, people want to use the word loosely, a hustler. You know, I've always, you know, freelance, you know, you need business cards, you need flyers. You know, there's always been a hustle, especially being from New York. I mean, if you're from New York, you have 4 to 5 jobs. Mm-hmm. There's a hustle everywhere, you know? So, you know, it's one of, I love the saying people always say is, it's not your fault if you're born poor, but it's your fault if you die poor.
For sure.
Yeah, that's
I'm a
good
big
one.
Believer of that. Yeah, it I've is. Heard, yeah. It is. You know, how you use your time.
Man, you guys just been dropping fucking gems all fucking day.
You know what's
bro.
Funny? So I love when people say that, and I learned all that through experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One day, like, I remember, I've gone through my phase where I hated on the next person. Like, fuck, this nigga's a baller. Like, fuck this nigga. And I realized, yo, me hating on the next person sitting here, pouting my lips like a little fucking kid, catching a tantrum, does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. But if I get up and start picking this nigga's brain and start asking him or learning something or even emulating, I might just fucking learn something. Mm-hmm. You know, I might just make a dollar or two. And then those $2 turn into four. You know, my main thing was, what do we say? Mission objective. Like you said, we get institutionalized by the military, and it's not always a bad thing. Brainwash, whatever you want to call it. And I wouldn't even use the word brainwash, because if you're part of a gang, if you're a blood, if you're a Crip, or if you're in a fraternity or a sorority, you're proud of whatever you're involved with at the end of the day. A squad, a clique, a group of graffiti crews. You know, we were all repping our crew. I'm just a Marine. I'm proud of being a Marine. I love being a fucking Marine. Mm-hmm. You know? So back to that, it's I'm living proof of it. I got tired of being poor. People are like, oh, what's the key to success? I just got tired. I just wanted something a lot more than something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be a lot. I got tired of, like you said, you know, being successful for me is having financial stability. I got tired of wanting. So I did something about it. Yeah. Same thing like with gym goals. Oh, why do you go to the gym? Because I got tired of being fucking fat. You know?
Yeah. Simple, out of breath,
simple,
right?
Simple, I got tired of being out of breath. You know, how tired did you get of it? Well, I got so tired that I actually made something of myself. I got so tired of being broke. I got so tired of being poor. I got so tired of not having. I got so tired of wanting. I hate that, you know, growing up being poor, you always wanted what the next kid had, you know, especially when you're 5, 8 years old. You don't understand being poor. You just knew that you didn't have and they had, you know? So I got tired of that fucking horrible feeling, whether it was embarrassment, whether it was being ashamed, you know, whether you didn't have money for, you know, class trips. I just got tired of wanting, and then I got to an age where I was like, well, I can do something about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, sure. What is that? That's fucking work.
And I think that's important that, like, you could figure that out at any age.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's very important. I mean, I always laugh when people say money's not that important, right? And I always say to myself, I'm like, that's because you've never been broke. If you've been broke, money's important.
It's
like,
important,
if you were damn near on your last dollar, you didn't know what you were going to eat today because you had no money, or you're sleeping on some homie's couch, or, you know, I mean, you're borderline homeless. Like, money's important. I don't care what anybody
money's
says.
Not the root of all evil. It's people are the root of all evil.
100%.
It's what we do with it.
100%, sure. Right? It's, you
know,
like anything,
money is,
right?
Money is everything is a lie. People who say that either don't have money, never been poor, or just don't have the humble enough heart to do the right thing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even me, when my parents first moved here, yo, my mom and dad was working two jobs, and just to try to make it, right? Just to try to keep, you know, a roof over our head and food on the table, right? I mean, that's hustle right there, right? Like, some people, I know people who complain they can't even find a job. But there's jobs out there. They just don't want that job, right? If you really... Yeah.
It's like you were saying, like, 2 to 4, bro. Like, go get some cans. Go turn that shit in.
Go do
now
something.
You got some bucks. Now you go buy something else. Now
somebody's always hiring, B. Somebody's always hiring.
Even if they're not hiring, like what you said, I keep it real. Like, I come from immigrant parents. My parents are not legal, bro. And I think immigrant parents, I think my mother was one of the biggest influences for me to hustle growing
up. 100%.
100%. My mom don't speak no English. She don't speak any English. She got 3 kids. And I always tell myself, like, yo, she could have just gave us up. Yeah. I would have gave us up. Like, that's fucking easy. You know, three kids and your son's a knucklehead, right? Or, you know, typical minority, gangs, graffiti, getting in and out of trouble. You know, I didn't make it any easier. And my mom still figured it out. You know, and it's funny because if you look at your parents now, you're like, oh, in my head, I'm like, this little old lady out here, you know, we never got kicked out. We never lived on the streets. You know, somehow she made it happen. No education. And I'm like, well, shit, if she can do it, ain't no reason that I can't do it. I speak the language. I hold a degree. You know, I'm educated. You know, I've been in the Marine Corps X amount of years. You know, so there really is no excuse. You know, but the only poor excuse you give yourself to feel bad for your fucking self.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the best examples I give, and not to sound too depressing, but I'm hard on people. I'm hard on, you know, my girlfriend, my family, like whoever I'm with, I'm really, really hard on. And the reason is, yo, when I graduated college, right, my last semester, I was going through murder trial for my kid at the time we had trial. And I had kids like, yo, finals got me stressed out, work got me stressed out. And I'm like, yo, your niggas is crying over nothing. Like, I had to go sit in trial and then rush down from San Marcos Vista, an hour and a drive, depending on traffic, and go do my finals. And I still didn't, you know, I kept my focus. You know, it's like, how bad did I want it? And it wasn't that I loved my son any less, and it wasn't that the case wasn't bothering me. I mean, obviously, it was bothering me. But the point is, what I always say, the mission goes on, no matter what. I mean, at the end of the day, I had a job to do, and it was to graduate.
Yeah.
So for me to hear all types of kids, and I always say kids, never based on age, based on experience, these kids in my class saying, like, oh, finals got me worried, I'm stressed out. I know niggas that dropped out. that just didn't want to study.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, I don't feel for you. I don't. Like, tell me something harder than to sit during a murder trial.
Well, it's because you're saying, like, you want it really bad. Like, some people just don't want it.
You can't teach Will. And, like, you can't. And my teacher even told me. It's funny because I was all over the news. My teacher even told me, was like, yo, you're good on this final. I said, what do you mean? She's like, you don't got to take it. You're going to pass. I said, I'm not doing it for you. I'm not here to impress you. I'm doing this shit for me. Mm-hmm. I made a promise to my kid that I was going to graduate college. And that promise, obviously, I kept to myself. I graduated college against the worst circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm better than the next person. Everybody goes through their own trials and tribulations. But I don't really feel for the next person. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has excuses, you know. You just gotta have the will to want to do it.
Yeah.
Don't invite me to no pity party.
No pity party.
I don't cry over spilled milk.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm not talking about us, though, for sure. Like,
I'm saying in general, right? But like, I'm saying
like
in general.
People that are like, oh, feel bad with me. Like,
yeah, I'm not trying to feel bad for you. Yeah. I remember at one of my old jobs, this dude was getting fired, right? And I came into the office, and he's leaving with his box, right? And everyone's crying. And then he's like, I'll see you later. I was like, all right, cool. You know, he's leaving. They're kicking him out, right? And so later on, everyone's talking and everyone's like crying and moping. I was like, yo, he gonna be all right. He gonna get another job. I was like, people get fired every day. Yeah. It's just another thing.
That's wild, bro. Fuck, my pops is going through something like that. Like, he's worked for the this community college for like 30 years and they're letting him go because like they switched up all like upper management and shit. And like, he's been a fucking dean of the school and he's like been an educator and he's ran this program for like 2 decades, bro. And like, they're basically just letting him go, like whatever.
Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, like, it's nothing, bro. So he's fucking going through it. But, like, bro, he got full-ride scholarships to go from, like, CETIS and UABC, like, the two, like, schools in TJ, to go to fucking UCLA. You know what I mean?
Full ride to
study, like, urban planning. You know what I mean? And he's got master's degrees and shit. And, like, bro, he was born in Mexico, like south of Mexico City, like in the fucking villages.
But he wanted to get to it, though.
Nah, he fucking got to it. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm going to just leave you guys with two things. So, like, today is a full moon. The full moon tonight is currently in Virgo. Virgo is, like, the worker. So, like, this is fucking excellent that we're out here. Like, you guys are telling us the stories about entrepreneurship and working hard and, like, just getting to it, you know what I mean? And
you
like,
know all the spiritual stuff, man. I'm about to sit down and talk to you. You got to teach me some of the spiritual
stuff. That moon is the signs.
We'll hang out, bro.
That moon is crazy right now. Driving over here, I was like, damn, moon looks crazy.
You said we'll hang out. That's another thing. When we're finishing up the store, that's what I told Justin. I was like, it's got to be a place where people don't feel like, yeah, obviously it's a business, you know, obviously we welcome all shopping, of course, mm-hmm. but it's got to be somewhere where we meet people. Yeah, like, we get people all the time, all types of people that come in here and just shoot the shit with us.
Yeah.
And it's great, you know, it's you learn a lot. Like, I noticed you keep mentioning a lot of, like, the Zodiac shit. Now I'm interested. I'm not going to lie.
Now you got me interested. It kind of opened up my mind a little bit.
Listen to that podcast. You got to send me that.
I've always heard people talk about it and go over it, and I'm like, yo, that's just not something that interests me, right? But you started talking about it right now and how it goes with different parts of the body, with the moon, and I'm like, yo, is that real?
To me, it's similar to what you said about writing down every single hour, like what you're doing every hour of the day, because it like they're recording, like, well, you know, the astrologers are recording like all the planets and what phases they're passing through and like what they're doing in orbit and like how that's relating to us. I mean, it goes back to a lot of my deeper spiritual beliefs about like as above, so below, and as within, so without. And it's
how do you even get into all that?
Bro, I just like I was raised in a Catholic like family, and I went to Catholic school for a long time, and then that shit started pushing me away because I've seen like a lot of people were kind of like hypocritical and shit, and so it caused me to explore like a lot of different religions. And then once I started seeing like the patterns between a lot of like not just the Abrahamic religions, which is like Islam, like Judaism, Christianity, but then like looking to see like into Hinduism and Buddhism and like
how those
things parallel to Christianity a lot, and then like looking at the number patterns and then seeing how even astrology relates to all of those things, it was just mind-blowing, bro. That shit fucked me up. That's where a lot of my inspiration for Rottweiler comes from, is through that type of shit. And the shit that I kind of did study in school, which is like ancient cultures and stuff like that.
You had theology in school?
I did philosophy. I kind of did theology when I was in like the Catholic like high school. Well, I was only there for like a year and a half. So I studied like a lot of the Bible, but like I read more of the Bible now that I don't even associate as Catholic, Christian, nothing.
That's fucking cool. That's dope.
But yeah, bro. I mean, it just I love that shit. So another thing, bro. Okay, I was gonna leave you guys with this. The fucking there's this phrase in Latin, "Laborare et orare." It means to work is to pray, and like prayer is like talking to God. You know what I mean? And then there's meditation, which is like listening to God. But like, I definitely feel like when I'm working, I feel like super connected, like just tapped into like source. I feel like all the inspiration is just hitting. You know what I mean? And I feel like I can't miss when I'm working because it just like it feels like it's for something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you do anything special when you're working? Like for me, wherever I'm working, whether I'm at my 9 to 5 or whether I'm working on something for Prospect, do you like I just put music on? Like for me, music, some sort of music just gets me in the zone and just keeps me going. Right, regardless of whatever the music is, I'll just run all the music on my iTunes and just let it play randomly, shuffle through, and then you get random songs, and then it just kind of puts you in that zone. Where you're just like you're just going in, right? And nothing could really break you from that zone, right? What do you do?
I like listening to audiobooks and like music, and sometimes just silence. Sometimes I'll be in certain situations where I'll be like. Either like in the early stages of rap, I was like living with my son's mom. We weren't together, but I would have to be working like in the middle of the night. We only had like one room, and it was like me, her, and my son. And so I would just have to be quiet as fuck, like dead silence, bro. Just working like that type of situation.
You know what was cool? You mentioned earlier about like you know, like praying and the kind of like the religious thing. I'm not religious one bit, but it is funny because you describing it the way you describe it and the way I understand it. Is that we meet halfway. The reason I feel you all the way is because you're passionate about what you do.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like I said, whatever it is you want to word it, like I said, meditation, religion, or just your path to, like, however you connect to God.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's just raw passion. And that's why I love about the creative field. Mm-hmm. Like I said, whether it's art, whether it's DJ, whether it's silk screening, art comes in many different forms. Yeah. But the one thing that we all do have in common is the passion.
Yeah.
And you could always tell someone who's passionate most about definitely. What they do. And people always call me out on it because whenever I'm pretty conservative when I talk sometimes, I'm very, like, I'm very well dialed in. Like, I think before I speak a lot, very careful what I say. But when it comes to talking about passion, like anything I'm passionate about, I just get crazy. It's almost like I'm freestyling on top of my head. Yeah, like a little kid who's excited about like the first day of school. Mm-hmm. I just speak like crazy raw.
It's that connection. It's like, it's even like Biggie says, like words just flow through me. Like, you know what I mean? Just fucking, when you're connected, there's nothing that's going to stop you from just letting it all ride out. Like that's what we're here for. We're like, it's like when there's this famous quote by I think it's Nassim Haramein. He's talking about like looking for the soul or like the spirit inside the mind or body is like looking for the radio announcer like inside the radio. It's like we're just connected. We're just like receiving. We're like antenna. You know what I mean? And like that's kind of what the bottom line of all the religions are talking about is like there's one source. There's one like God. Yeah. He may or may not be a creator, but like whatever that source is, like. It's connected to all of us. You know what I mean? And that's like, I guess kind of fucking deep, bro.
That's kind of how I look at religion and all that too. It's just like, just one entity. And then however you go about it, that's I guess what separates it.
Yeah. But, cause most, I mean, the most religions that we're familiar with are, monotheist, which means just one God, singularity, you know what I mean? But yeah, there's been a lot of different ones. The pagan ones are usually like more gods, but even then, there's like usually one high one and then like a bunch of low ones. So
yeah, even before like Jesus and like all the other religions, like you were talking about like the Greeks and Romans believed in like multiple gods, and Egyptians, like the very first people that were here, believed in like the Aztecs believed in like all these different ones too.
Even their like stories are like so parallel to like more modern stuff and like Christianity. It's that shit's all bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, I've had experiences with multiple religions, right? Because I grew up Catholic, I went to Catholic school, schools growing up, and then I went to a Muslim school. So I went to a Muslim school for like 5.5 years, pretty much.
And you guys learn about like Isa?
Yeah. So sadly, I didn't participate enough to learn as much as I should have. I was a knucklehead kid, you know. So I look back on it now, and I wish I had went and paid attention. And
I
learned.
Used to be so resentful of my like going to Catholic. Like, middle same thing. And elementary school. I was just because I got pulled out of like public school where my friends were at. So I was like, man, this fucking sucks. And I just had that mentality the whole time. But then I was like, yo, like I learned so much.
You could learn so much, right? Like, and it makes you. I think it makes you into a better person, right? Like one of my best friends growing up, he's a Hindu. His dad was a pundit, so I was around them quite a bit. I mean, they live right across the street from me, from my parents' house. So I was there almost every day at their house. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those three religions are kind of like what I've been around most of my life, right?
And being able to have been, having the opportunity to get that influence from different religions and cultures.
It's
like,
huge.
It definitely like broadens your mind to where you're not like so judgmental. Like, we're all judgmental of people, you know what I mean? But like, I mean, to a degree, but like, I don't know. Once you get that kind of exposure to like different cultures, like you just get more, just like cool.
Yeah, and I think it kind of changes the dynamic of everything, because then you become more spiritual than just following a particular religion. Mm-hmm. You just become more spiritual and real, and just deal with it in that aspect instead of just following a particular religion and how their teachings are. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna go into some like little different set of questions. Because we've been talking about religion and
it's kind of deep, right?
We've got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, well, before we get into the questions, I guess I just wanted to ask, this is considered a question. What's like your like long-term or short-term goals for the store here?
I mean, we can give you the short-term goals. The long-term goals, we don't want to really reveal them yet. The short-term goals right now.
Yeah, what's the short-term goals?
The short-term goals is just really to push the store, you know, to celebrate the city more, like, right? That's what I was telling Steeler. I was like, yo, if you want to do something, let's do it. Anytime you hit me, you say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. I told Rossi the same thing, you know, Leon, Mo, they all know the same thing, right? Like, I feel like there's so much going on in San Diego right now, and a lot of people don't know about it, right? Like, there's a certain group of people who know about it, but there's a lot of other people who would rather just go to the bars and party, go to the clubs and party. But there's a lot of other little events that's going on in San Diego that, I mean, people should go out and support. Yeah, and I think Rossi said it best, too, when he was here. He was saying that, you know, not everyone's going to fuck with you, right? Like, sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't like it because they don't know about it. Mm-hmm. They might hear one thing and they might be like, oh, yeah, that's not for me. But there's a lot of other things that they can deal with, right, that they will like. Mm-hmm. And also, for us, it's like to get the brands to realize that San Diego has that streetwear scene, that culture, right? A lot of people still consider San Diego as a surf town, right? Like
a military town, surf
military town,
all that,
right?
Yeah.
And,
town,
and that's fine. Beach town. And that's fine because that's what we are, you know? Yeah. Yeah. But it's also, you know, not even a subculture, it's also a group of San Diegans that just love the city, that's just into the culture, into hip-hop, into streetwear, you know, into everything. And we just need them to realize, like, hey, there's a bigger scene in San Diego than you even know about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember our reps used to always talk about that. And one time, one came to one of our events, and he was like, yo, I can't believe this many people came out to this event. He just didn't think that this many people in San Diego were into sneakers, into streetwear.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a selling point for him, right? Like, he's like, yeah, there's people in San Diego. Let's work. Let's do something, right? So I think it's, for us, really, right now, is just to push the shop, push the culture, push the scene, for more people to come out, have events, whether it's a pop-up shop, whether it's a, you know, some album release or whatever the case may be, whether it's one of our own events, right? Like, we have a few events that we have planned for the future, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and you guys will see. I mean, it's something just simple, but we just want people to come out and have fun, right? Have a good time, mm-hmm. you know, celebrate the city, you know? Like, you can never tell who you can meet, right? Like, we all might like streetwear. You might be a doctor, he might be a lawyer, but you came out to the event and you just met each other, right? And so it's really right now is just to push the city, to make the city, to make people realize outside of the city that the city is doing great things. Like, just come out and support. There's a lot of great people in the city, you know? A lot of great musicians come out of the city. I mean, a lot of great artists in the city. A lot of, you know, whether it's a muralist or just a regular, you know, canvas artists, right? There's a lot of great people in the city. We just want people to realize, like, yeah, there's good things in the city. You don't have to go to LA for those things. You don't have to fly to New York for those things. It's right here in your backyard. Just come out and support it, right?
Yeah,
and I think the problem is a lot of people wait until whatever local thing blows up, and then they want to support it, right?
Yeah.
Which is like it's a gift and a curse, right? Because they don't really want to support it when it's small.
I feel like I know what you mean, because, like, in fucking, I've noticed, like, in cities, like, in the Pacific Northwest, like Seattle and Portland, like, people be, like, kind of standing in lines and, like, wanting to hop on the next thing and wanting to see what the next thing is, but, like, and wanting to, like, be there first. But then, like, over here, I feel like, you know, there might be a little bit more of a crowd that's, like, oh, yeah, what's already popping? Like, I want to go to the thing that's popping, you know, like, rather than making it popping. I feel like I see that a little bit, but at the same time, like, you guys ain't even have your grand opening yet, so just wait, bro. Like,
definitely. I mean, like, just like for you, when Rossi did his thing at at Arts and Rec, right? We were down there. I was like, yo, those shirts are dope. That was the merch. I was like, yo, let me support the homie, you know? Yeah. I was like, I might as well, right? Like, just support everyone in the city, regardless of who it is. I mean, we're not saying you're going to support everything they do, but yeah, support once in a while and just show love, show faith, right? Because yeah, the brands and the people aren't really going to grow unless the people in the city support them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to grow to be the next big thing,
I think,
right?
That's why it's so important to, like, just genuinely, like, love the community back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, anything. People know, bro. They can hit me. Like, I'll be out here trying to, like, get production going for a lot of the homies that, like, do clothing and stuff like that. Like, I do my best, bro. I'm super busy. Like, I just... be patient with me if I don't hit you back for like 3 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, yeah. Now you everywhere. But I mean, like, everywhere. Every time I go somewhere, the few times I go somewhere, you there already. I'm like, yo, this dude, he's in everything. You know, like, he's involved in everything. Yeah. So, you know, you got to keep in the city alive
I'm actually got like two twin brothers and shit. So they be there when I can't.
Yo, I low key believe you too. That's the problem. I low key believe you.
Well, I think it comes down to, like, the, you know, if you build it, they'll come kind of mentality. And it's, you know, you guys already have most of this stuff. You have, you know, you'll have more as you, like, you know, once you open and get everything out there. But there's definitely an audience of people that'll support. And then once you, you know, have that and then just have, like, that core group, there is another audience that's like, yeah, like, once everything's popping, like, then that's when they'll come. Like, nobody, so I said, like, nobody, everyone wants to be a part of it. Until
yeah, there's for sure a balance right there.
Like, you know, that's cool.
You've both been in San Diego for like more than a decade, yeah?
Easily. We know a lot of people. We know a lot of people.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm not even offended by people who will fuck with us after we've been already validated. You know, honestly, a lot of those people, I'm not even offended. And here's the reason why is because a lot of people don't even believe in themselves. You know, a lot of people that don't support you can't even support themselves.
And you can't do anything about that.
You can't do anything about that, honestly. You know, people just don't have that vision, that grander vision of, yeah, I quit my job. I'm going to figure it out.
You know,
and it has nothing to do with them doubting you. It's kind of they doubt themselves. It's their own insecurities projected on your vision and your goals.
And I don't encourage everybody to go and quit their job.
No, not everybody can.
I operated a pretty fucking high stress level at all times. And, like, I don't want that for
people. It's funny you said that because I get a lot of messages on Instagram. Like, oh, I want to quit my job. Like, I'm about to do this. I'm about to, like, don't do it. This ain't for everybody.
Yeah, everything's not meant for everybody, bro.
And the part is, like, still, like, you probably tell people, probably hit you all the time, like, yo, I'm trying to start a brand.
Somebody hit me up today, like, oh, my homegirl wants to start some jewelry line. Like, she doesn't know too much about wholesale. I was like, bro, like, you buy something, you sell it for twice as much. I was like, you make something, you figure out how much it costs you, you sell it to somebody, just know they're gonna sell it for twice as much.
Yeah, but you know what? I tell people that when people
I was like, that's it, go get a book. Like, that's all I can tell you.
No,
like,
but when people ask me those kind of questions, you know, I tell them, don't do it. I literally tell people, don't do it because they tell me I'm being negative. But
it's like, you could get a 401k, like, you could get paid time off. Like, yeah, you could go, yeah,
there's no paid time off when you're entrepreneur.
Yeah, go pull up your desk in the streets, and just post listen to Spotify and, like, handle.
Yeah, there's none of that, right? Like, there's no cush office job, corner office job with a nice little space heater or nothing like that, right? No, yo, you out in the streets, right? Like, you're in a gutter. Yeah. Just put it on, right? And I mean,
I can't wait to get off of work so I can go meet up with a homie at Home Depot to figure out how we're going to build a stage for Saturday's event. And then, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah.
What the fuck? No, you look forward to going home and watch Netflix. Like, yeah, what you mean?
I mean, a lot of people tell me there's like that. People ask me, like, yo, what'd you do last night? I was like, yo, I was at the shop till 2 a.m. I was like, what'd you do? He's like, yo, we went out drinking. You know, I was like, you know, yeah. So it's a difference, right? Like, some people are just out partying while you're working, you're getting tees printed, you're doing your hustle, building the stage, right? Yeah. So a lot of people don't really see it like that because for them it's just like, yo, why would I go do that? You know? Yeah. So I tell people, don't quit your jobs, don't do it. It's gonna be the most stressful time of your life. Yeah. If you're okay with dealing with that high stress level, like you said, then yeah. But a lot of people try and it breaks them, right? Yeah. Like, they crumble.
For real. Mm. And I've gotten a lot better at carving time out for myself. That's really why I love DJing, like, especially right now, is because, like, I've only been doing it for a few months. But now I feel like when I do it, it's like I get an hour to myself. Like, I get an hour to, like, listen to
curating
the music
the vibes.
I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but also,
like, I'm playing for people. Like, I want them to be happy dancing and shit like that. So, but it's just fun. It's like, it's a cool little thing. Like, I feel like I want to do a lot with that, you know? I want to be able to take that elsewhere. And I got invited to do a fucking month-long pop-up in fucking Chicago this morning. Like, bro, today's been lit.
That's good. That's good blessings. That's blessings.
Hell yeah.
You guys must have a lot of discipline, like, not going out and doing shit when you guys are right here in the heart of
You know what's funny?
It's not we've been talking about that quite a bit, right?
It's not even really disciplined,
We've been talking about
though.
That quite a bit. It's just not our scene,
it's
right?
Just it's not our scene. Yeah.
But
we'll, you guys don't drink at all?
Nah, I mean, I one little bit. Very little, right? Very, very social, rare, right? Okay. But yeah. I mean, we'll still hit like certain events, right? Just to show face, you know, give everybody a dab, show love, right?
Right.
But we'll be there for like maybe an hour and we'll just dip out, right? Because we're not trying to close the place down like most people are, right? I mean, and it's not like... We don't want to hit every event. It's just not our scene, right? Most of it is not our scene. And really and true, we just come out just to show love, just to, you know, just to participate in what the city got going on to see what's really out there, right?
Like, because we
got to be in the weeds to know what's going on in the city. So
I just can't have fun knowing that I could be at the store. I like being at the store. Like, we built this shit.
Yeah,
he needs better friends.
Yeah.
You definitely need better friends.
I like being at the store. I like working on new seasons, new designs, new concepts. Fucking,
it's a dope vibe in here too. Like, with everything that's already in, you got the fucking
like
brick bears in here.
You
got all these
with,
dope
like,
clothes.
My apartment. Like, people, I always wonder why people hate being home. I love being home. I got a dope ass apartment.
Yeah.
And I built it that way. Like, the way everything in my house is either artistic, it's not an eyesore, like it's curated. I guess the proper would be the feng shui set up, because I like being home.
Well, you gotta use big words, man.
There you go, big words.
The feng shui of
the
it.
Feng shui.
It doesn't look like it.
You probably can't even spell that word, right?
No.
It doesn't mean it means
it's like F-E-N-G-S-E-A-C-H-U-I.
This shit don't look like an IKEA exhibit. He's got his own little feng shui.
I was at the homie's shop in Chicago. It's called Plant Shop Chicago. They literally sell like indoor plants and like flowers and shit. It's fucking tight. And one of their employees was explaining to me like the feng shui of plants and like plant color
how they work, right?
And like where they work and balance in the house and shit like that. And I was like, dude, that's some next level shit. I want to learn about that shit. Like,
when you do teach me,
yeah,
I'm willing to learn too.
I want to learn about fucking regular feng shui. I was asking my chick the other day. I was like, yo, do you know about that shit? Like, where should I put my bed in my room? Like, I'm not supposed to point towards the door, right? Or like, should I have the color red in here? Like.
I'm going through that right now. I'm about to move into a new spot, so I'm kind of going through that whole.
Oh,
I know. Yeah, it's like down in IV, but yeah, man, feng shui. I'm trying to get my shit going soon. I might need some help. Tell your girl I need some help.
Once you guys figure it out, just clue me in too. So let me know what's going on.
Yeah,
because I want to learn it too.
Most definitely.
I think today's episode, the moral of the story that I've interpreted, is like. Not everything is meant for everybody, you know? Like,
not
everyone wants to go out and party and drink. Not everybody wants to have their own business and go through all the hardships and the rewards that
but
it probably all comes
But if you do want
with.
That shit, it's definitely there for you
it's
to go
It's there
get.
For you to grab, man. Yeah, like, you're not too young, you're not too old to start that shit, you know, to want to be able to, like, be successful in your own way.
Just
got to
break past your fears.
Yeah, break barriers, jump over cliffs and do all that shit, just like go for it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yo,
I literally just
read something earlier, so a lot of people might hate me for this, but I have a huge crush on Jennifer Aniston, right? And a terrible person to have a crush on, but one of the quotes that she said earlier, right, was, you know, somebody once said, everything you want in this world is just right outside your comfort zone. Everything you could possibly want, right? So that, which makes sense, right? So it's literally go face your fears and battle it and just get out there, because everything you want is just right there. You just got to get out of your comfort zone. A lot of people, that's hard for a lot of people to do, right? Really, really hard for a lot of people to just get out their comfort zone and go do something different, right?
And that's why you can't expect people to get out their comfort zone to support you, because they can't support themselves. They can't, they don't, like I said, they don't have the vision.
Fear-based motivation.
Not everyone thinks the same either. So it's like you can't expect people to always, you know, understand where you're coming from with that. In that way, it's weird. All right. Well, we are hitting that mark. Start wrapping up. But before we wrap up, let's go ahead and go over these like series of questions. I like doing this like little like series of questions segment to kind of like small answers. Get to know everybody a little better. So my first question to you guys is, it's a food question. Do you guys prefer tacos or burgers? But I know you said you don't.
Oh, tacos all the way.
You can eat burgers.
Yeah. Tacos all the way. Nah, I mean,
you can eat the Whataburger.
Nah, they got Impossible Burgers, yeah, Beyond Impossible Burgers, and all that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, but vegetarian.
Huh?
Yeah, you're pescatarian.
Yeah, but tacos, like, I just literally to. I had Mariscos.
Mariscos,
fish tacos. Oh, that man.
Fish tacos.
Thing is flame emoji all day.
Bro, we need to go get some mariscos, bro. I'll take you to a mariscos.
You need to go to like TJ Oyster Bar or something.
Oyster Bar is fire. Bro, there used to be this mariscos truck right next to my, my work in Barrio Logan. Fuck, it was called La Jolla Shark. Bro, they had some fire marlin tacos, bro. Marlin is like...
Damn, marlin. That sounds
bougie.
Super fucking bomb, marlin. Bro. But like, yeah, we'll go get some marlin. Or some
yeah, definitely. Let me know when you're ready. I'm down.
Hell yeah. Plus, we're up here too, bro. There got to be some good salmon tacos.
I haven't found any spot down here.
Yeah, they got I got to go south then, bro.
Yeah, you got to go more down. Go down like towards like Mission.
We got to go down to Cesar Chavez. Like
yeah, whenever you... Let me know. Yeah, let me know. We could do something.
Hella.
What about you, bro? You got a preference, tacos or burgers?
You know, being from the East Coast, tacos is definitely a culture shock to me, like tacos everywhere.
Right.
I would have to say, burgers is definitely
burgers, thing. Okay. Nope. Another food question. If you had one last meal, what would it be?
Like pizza.
If you have one last meal.
Pizza.
What's the best pizza spot?
You come from New York, so you probably York, like pizza. Pizza's
I
a whole
eat
different.
Pizza 3-4 times a day. I mean, yeah. I'm not proud of it, but New I York's really do eat pizza about 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? That's the million-dollar question. And the best answer I give, the best pizza in New York, this is guaranteed the best pizza, is the one that you like. Everybody, it's subjective. Everybody has different tastes. What I like, you might not like, and the next man might not like. So, honestly, I just tell people it's whatever pizza you like. But I do recommend trying. I've tried, honestly, especially my last. I was just in New York. I was home about a year last year, from 2017 to 2018. I was home. I must have ate in. I did like the tourist thing. I typed in like top 10 pizzerias, yeah. And I tried every single fucking pizza spot all over Brooklyn, all over Queens,
like
all over Manhattan.
OG shit.
I just tried everything. Like every day that I was out. Like, if I was out, you know, whether I was, like, in Soho or fucking LES or even in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, Queens, I made sure that I hit something off my list, whether it's this pizza spot. And I realized that some of the top pizza spots I didn't like. And I realized that some of the whack ones, I was like, yeah, I'm feeling it. Mm-hmm. You know, just everyone's taste buds is different, but pizza is definitely my choice.
So name a spot, bro. What's your favorite pizza spot out here?
Out here?
Yeah.
My favorite pizza spot would be... Bronx Pizza and Brooklyn Boys Pizza.
Bronx Pizza.
Oh, you know
Bronx
what? Knockout Pizza. Knockout Pizza.
Knockout Pizza.
Knockout Pizza.
Have you tried this spot, Philippi's, across the street?
Never. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yes,
no.
Whatever.
The reason I recommend Knockout Pizza is because they have garlic knots. I don't know if you ever had garlic knots. It's a common thing.
They have that at
Bronx Pizza?
Bronx Pizza.
No, Bronx Pizza don't have garlic knots.
Oh, okay.
The one from
Knockout
Pizza.
The one I go to is up in North County in Carlsbad.
Oh, okay.
There's one down here. And Brooklyn Boys Pizza is in Oceanside. But they're both as close as possible as you can get to New York-style pizza.
Oh, for sure.
Especially the garlic knots.
Yeah, garlic knots. So it's fine.
That meal would be has to be something Italian. It'd probably be like a lemon, garlic, parmesan, shrimp, pasta or something, right? Because Italian food is
very descriptive.
Is easily my... No, that's...
your weakness? Is your
Italian
kryptonite?
Food is my kryptonite, you know? Some good Italian food. So, yeah, some... Like, I remember once... I can't remember where I had it. It might have been in San Francisco or something, but it was like lemon, garlic, parmesan, shrimp, pasta. And that thing changed my life. I was like, yo, this is the best Italian food I've ever had in my life. And it was just perfect. So I think it definitely would have to be... Some sort of Italian dish.
Was that?
I was in San Francisco. I'm trying to remember the name of the
place.
This shit
making me hungry. So I'm about to go to my mom's house after this shit. Just go eat some fucking rice
fucking
and beans.
That's really rice and beans. That's what you boil down to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think. What about you guys? You tell me. What would you guys? What would your that one meal be for you guys?
I just want my mom to make something, bro. Fuck it.
Oh yeah.
Some Spanish rice, some frijoles, and. Just give me like a fucking quesadilla.
Something simple.
Something mad simple, bro. Like,
probably
just take me back to like my childhood and shit. And I'll just be like, yeah, cool. I'm done. Last meal. That was it. It's a wrap.
Shit, me probably some, I don't know, something simple too. Some like salt and pepper chicken wings, something like that.
Salt and pepper chicken wings are bomb.
Yeah, something like that.
He kept it simple with the salt and pepper chicken. Yeah, I thought you were about to say the lemon garlic, the lemon pepper, because everybody's...
Yeah, lemon pepper is fire though, I fuck with salt and pepper chicken wings all the time, so it's like...
I fuck with the... I know this is probably just like a stupid answer, but I fuck with the ones from Golden Chopsticks.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like the Mandarin spots we have, the fire ass ones. Yeah. That one across from Southwestern, that Mandarin spot. Matter of fact, Southwestern College. that's probably like my number one spot to go to get damn. That shit. But Golden Chopsticks is fire too. Yeah. I won't dispute that.
Yeah. I tried that fucking Beyond Burger from Carl's Jr. recently. That shit low key hits, bro.
Yo, you and a lot of people tell me, everyone tells me that because I don't eat meat, so everyone just feel like the need to tell me that. But yo, I tell people all the time, it's really good. And everyone's like, oh, it probably tastes garlic.
You tried that shit?
Yeah, I've had it before.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that impossible, I like the Impossible Burger better.
Yeah.
But that just
the Beyond company, whatever.
Yeah, just Beyond having that is really dope. I mean, Del Taco now got the tacos yeah, got too, right? Shit, yeah. So I mean, I tell people go try all of them, and you'll see. You know, like a lot of people have been telling me, like, "Yo, that's the best burger I've had in a long time. Yeah. I can't believe that's not meat. It tastes so good." You know.
But my chick works at like a vegan spot, so I mean,
which one does she work at?
I can't tell. I'll tell you after.
Okay, fair.
Not trying to put the location.
I'm not trying to blow the spot up.
If you guys had three brands that you always have to have on deck, what would they be? Like three clothing brands, shoe
personally
brands.
Personally wear?
Yeah, like what are three brands that you always gotta have on deck?
You know, it's funny. I don't really wear anything. Like I try to minimize logo brands on my body. And it's funny because I have an Adidas sweater on right now.
Right.
But for the most part, I don't really wear brands. Like a lot of, I wear a lot, believe it or not, like I wear a lot of Gap. I wear a lot of like Topman.
Topman.
The reason is that there's no brands on it.
Right.
You know, I don't feel like, I'm at a point in life where I don't feel like I want to be a walking advertisement where I can control it.
True.
You know,
no, I feel that. That's
like this is like my throw on. I love this sweater, and there's nothing I can do about it. But even brands that I personally fuck with, like we went to LA, and I really like Undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even rock their big logo.
The big ass sweater. They had a small little, yeah.
That's all it had.
That's how I feel about Stussy sometimes, because like with Stussy, like I like that's probably like one of my favorite brands, but like I don't be wearing like the big blasted Stussy. Like,
I mean,
logo
honestly, Kith has a great fucking. Their quality is amazing. Yeah. Their fit is amazing. The only downfall for me personally just says,
and that's the whole reason I Ralph too.
That's like, the whole reason I own a pin company, because I feel like it's a subtle creative way to express your likes through pins, and it's not something that you have to wear and broadcast.
And you can get like a plain beanie, like how you have with no logos, and then just like
I mean, I never leave my house like, without a pin. Like you know, yeah. I have like I said, the pin company is anywhere from hip hop art pins to pop culture, trendy jokes, parodies. You know, I have purple tapes. I like that. It's one of my favorite albums. And I grew up with Wu-Tang. It's kind of when I got introduced to hip-hop. So I was like, fuck it. I'm not going to wear a Wu-Tang shirt. I'm 32 years old. I'm not going to wear something that says like Wu-Tang Clan. You know, to fuck with. But I will throw on a pin. Like I said, for me, it's just a subtle creative way. And that's the majority of what led me to pins.
Nice. You
know, so as far as brands, I wouldn't. I mean, our own. Yeah. Prospect.
I mean, yeah, Prospect somebody just told me.
You named a few. That's all.
Yeah. Somebody just told me that they. She said, she's like, he's always wearing something Prospect. She's like, every day I see him with something different. And I just laughed. I was like, yeah, because it's mine.
Because it's my shit.
Yeah, and for me, it's more like we try to do stuff that's simple and clean and comfortable, right? Because, I mean, we're in the loungewear era, right, where everyone just wants to be comfortable. I mean, Kanye set the trend with the homeless-looking attire, right? Like
He
took it a little too far, but, I mean, it's just, you just want to be comfortable.
I don't know, bro. I look pretty homeless right now, bro.
If you own a brand or you endorse a brand, you can't really expect someone to wear what you wouldn't wear.
Yeah, exactly.
They're selling for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
though,
we don't put anything out. I mean, it sucks. I don't have anything Prospect on me right now, but I usually leave my house with my favorite 5-panel, which is the Prospect 5-panel camper that we have, you know. And I don't wear it just because we made it. We made it because we like it. You know, we personally
like
fuck
that
with
shit.
It.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's more. I like. I'm similar to him, right? Where it's just like I don't like a lot of design. I like big prints on it. I mean, plus I just feel like we're older, right? So we're not gonna really wear, you know, some crazy off-white shit on our back. You know, just it's like you're like a billboard, right?
Yeah,
like, if you like the brand, you should be able to wear something that's comfortable.
Like a walking
advertisement. You're not really wearing the brand to stunt. You're wearing the brand because you like the brand, right? Like, I feel like
you would like to think that's why people wear brands, but I mean, we live in a world where, you know, unfortunately, people wear brands to stunt, to show that they have the latest trend.
Yeah,
you know, we don't live in a world of trendsetters. We live in a world of influencees.
Well,
people are influencers.
But I think that contradicts what you guys both said. Like, you guys live in your own worlds. Like, you're only in your world at the end of the day. You know what I mean? 100%. So the world is whatever you make it. It's like, if I choose to look outside and see, like, oh, I'm only seeing, like, trendy people and people that are like following shit, like that don't make sense to me. Like I spend fucking most of my day alone, you know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, I'm the flyest motherfucker on my planet, you know what I mean? But like, fuck it, that's just me, bro.
I
mean, like,
I think the same. People always ask me like you guys ask me, what brands do you wear? I just wear whatever I feel comfortable. And, like, I mean, yeah, what I like. I mean, I've been wearing Levi's for years. I just buy a pair of Levi's because I love it, right? And, I mean, like, I got tons of Ralph Lauren stuff. I mean, grew up in New York. Polo is a big thing. You kind of, by nature, you just acquire a bunch of polo stuff, right? And for me, I've never bought any of the crazy polo stuff that says polo all over it. It's always the simple stuff.
The best way you can say it is we're influenced by style, not fashion. Yeah. What I always tell people is you can buy fashion. You can buy all the dope brands. It doesn't mean you're stylish.
You're very stylish.
I'm way more just influenced by what I personally fits my personality, my character, my mood.
I felt so tight. I rocked this outfit on fucking Sunday when I was DJing at Park and Rec, and it was like our President's Day party, our fuck Donald Trump party, and like I rocked this like polo sweater that I have with the American flag like knit into it, and then it fucking, I was wearing like these Avisu jeans that have like they have like the fucking seam, instead of having like a selvage side seam, it's like starts from the middle of like the belt loop in the back, and it wraps all the way around to like the front of the ankle.
Oh, that's
like,
crazy.
It's the weirdest cut. The front pockets, they're back pockets, and then the back pockets have these big ass like embroideries on them of like dragons and shit. And then, yeah, I was rocking some dope Mo shades. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, so
that's good. The whole reason you're rocking it, look at the way you expressed it. It's a feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you weren't rocking it because of the name brands, because of the time. When I go shopping, I mean, it's rare that I go shopping. I kind of just pick things up based on how they look, not what they are.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, a lot of the shit that I buy is usually pretty fucking cheap.
Bro, the Avisu jeans I got at the thrift store, the polo sweater I got at the Clean Slate like swap meet, and then the fucking shades I got from Mo. Like,
yeah. But I mean, for me, it's more like timeless pieces, right? Because you want to buy pieces that you can rock next year, right?
Yeah.
If you want to pull it out the closet, if you shake it out from the closet, you can throw it on, it's still fresh, right?
Yeah,
so for me, it's more like I like timeless pieces that... No, it's not hot right now and it's going to go out of style next week, right? Like, I like pieces that it's hot right now and I could wear it next year still. It's still going to be hot. Somebody can be like, yo.
It's quality.
Yeah, it's quality, right? It's quality and it's timeless. And I think that's what we try to do with the brand, right? Like, we just try to do stuff that's timeless that you can wear. Even if it's cold right now, you can throw the hoodie on. But guess what? Next year, you could throw the hoodie on again because it's quality and it's timeless. You can still wear it. Yeah. It's still going to look dope, right?
And you guys could tell that you're into clothes because, like, the quality of the hoodie, like, is a cut above. You know what I mean? This is not your basic hoodie. Like,
yeah, and I mean, it took us a while to find good samples, right? Like, we're still
working on good samples.
Yeah, we go through quite a bit to figure out.
I'm a Nazi when it comes to the samples, cuts, fabrics, fit, like... I mean, I'm just a real Nazi when it comes to it, because I don't expect someone to pay something that I wouldn't pay. And I know when it comes to like fitment, like I don't care what the brand, man, I'll buy Target clothing if the fucking fitment and fabric is dope.
I actually bought some Umbro like track pants that Rossi put me on. He was like, yeah, Target's got Umbro right now.
Yo, that's one of the brands I grew up with too.
Yeah,
like playing soccer in the Caribbean. I mean, most Nike is really not sponsoring a Caribbean team. Let's keep it 100, right? Like. There's no interest in them for them in that, right? So the smaller brands like Umbro's, O's, or Puma, one of those goes
sponsor. Yeah, I was say Puma's
probably sponsor like
I had these,
third world teams,
I had these
right?
like Umbro like tennis shoes when I was in high school. I thought they were like the fucking most fire shoes, bro. I wish I still had
like
shoes.
Oasis or something like that.
Yeah, right.
That was crazy.
But yeah, bro. Well, shit. Thank you guys very much.
Now we appreciate you guys, man. Definitely.
This was definitely fucking dope.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, man.
I definitely.
Thank you for letting us in
your
store.
This was definitely a dope experience.
Yeah, man. Fucking in the heart of PB. I just think there's an axe store right next door too.
You guys really got me on my element because I told a bunch of people today. I was like, yo. These guys hit me up to do a podcast, man. Yo, that's not my thing, you know. Like, I'm super low key. That's more Jay's thing. He's more on the front lines, you know. Like me, I just like to be behind the scenes. I'll do a little bit of stuff here and there, but for the most part, you guys really got me on my element. Everyone's like, yo, you got to do it. You of all people have to do it. It's like, yo, you got a dope story. You know, you got a good dope background. You know, you should tell the world. And I'm like, yo, but that's just not my thing, you know. Like, I'm super reserved.
Yeah.
I'm measured. Somebody told me last year that. The problem with you is you're measured, where you're reserved, and that's a huge problem for you because there's a lot going on and no one could ever know. It's like, yo, you could be dying and no one would ever know that you're dying because you're just maintaining the same speed, right? And yeah. I just laugh. So yeah, I really appreciate you guys pulling me out of my element to try to do something like this. Right. So I appreciate
it. We're grateful for you.
Yeah, bro. Man, this is fun. And again, thank you for letting us come up in your story. Yeah, like
anytime,
this.
Anytime.
All right, man. Let's sign off. Dice Roll Radio, episode 37.
Yeah.
Live here in Prospect and PD. Pull up, come through whenever the store is open or just follow them. You guys got like Instagram and all that, right?
Yeah, we got Instagram. It's PRSPCTSD. The website's the same thing.com. My Instagram is SOLELO.
Well, my G is just JAY _ last name is Shells, like seashells. And then you have headquarters NYC, and that's HDQTRSNYC.
Dope. Yeah, man, make sure you guys pull up. Thank you for everyone listening on all the different platforms, all the people at work listening to this shit, people in their cars, all you fucking weirdos out there.
Hell yeah, if you listen to this shit on Rottweiler page, go hit that subscribe button.
This celebration
will be the dawn.
So far gone. Appreciate you.
Shattern Boulevard. Shout out Prospect.
Thank you, SoundCloud listeners, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. Appreciate all you. They be staring at the money like it's unfamiliar. I get it, I live it. To me, there's nothing realer. Just enough to solve your problems, too much to kill you. And when I leave, I always come right back here. The young spitter that everybody in rap fear. A lot of y'all are still sounding like last year. The game need changing, I'm the motherfucking cashier. Nickels for my thoughts, dimes in my bed. Quarters of the cush, shake the lines in my head. Take my verses too serious, you hate me. Cause I'm the one to paint a vivid picture, no HD. Yeah, I want it all, that's why I strive for it. Diss me and you'll never hear a reply for it. Any award show or party, I get fly for it. I know that it's coming, I just hope that I'm alive for it. I want the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes. The hoes, I suppose. I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be successful. I just wanna be successful.